Wiggly World 119.
It's never straight up and down.
It's never straight up and down. It's never straight up and down. It's never straight up and down. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
We're living in a wiggly world.
Wiggly world.
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 We're living in a wiggly
world. Wiggly world.
A wiggly world. A wiggly world. Oh. Oh, yes. Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Wiggly World. Now, I don't know when the last time I was able to do this show was. I think it was, you know, several years ago. But today's show, for a special little thing, I will... Oh, wait a minute. Jeez. Ay, ay, ay. It's off to a good start. Yeah, that thing was up on there. Today, I will be doing the episode Regaled... in my full Dicky Boy hockey helmet, the official Dicky Boy hockey helmet from the 1980s. Of course, Dicky Boy based on the Wiggly character, with my roller skates, sawed-off baseball bat, and original painted one-quarter skull face, other three-quarters red and black, alternating segments of a hockey mask helmet. Yes! Oh, I peeked. So good crazy. I'm a awful sight. I'm quite a sight to behold. You know what? I'm going to open photo booth and take a picture of myself so you believe me. And that will be the album art. And now, why this special? Well, it's actually been a month and what? A week and a half since the last episode, and much of this has, you know, my mic's a little high. I'm probably coming through with some. Oh! All right, hold on. This makes great audio podcasting. Jeez, what the heck? Oh, now my microphone fell. Oh boy. All right. I think that's it. How do you talk into a mic? Is this the right end? Okay, here we go. Take two. Beep. When... Tomina Sana! No, that's not for this show. Oh my gosh. So the unpleasantries of income taxes is now passed. And it was probably one of the worst... I gotta turn myself down. It's probably one of the worst days in my entire life. Definitely one of the worst days in Chiz's life, I think, was Sunday. I started collecting all my receipts, and believe me, they're incredibly out of order. And that's why today's show will be all letters as soon as I catch you up on my personal life. And the reason it will be all letters is because while searching for every scrap of receipt I could possibly find to try to alleviate the huge amount of money I have to pay this year, huge for me, I got it down under $5,000. But to me, if you say $5,000, you might as well be saying $5 million and $5 quazillion, because I don't have $5,000. I don't even have $5,000 on a credit card. Most of my credit cards only go up to a $2,000 limit. And the federal government does not allow you to split amongst credit cards as of yet, unless maybe I call up somebody and then something like that happens. And the state tax was $550, and they don't accept any type of credit card at all, only debit card, rather direct bank withdrawal. So this has been quite a hell on earth. Where else would it be? And I guess in the mind of insane people as well, and chick publications. So looking for these receipts, I found, you know, letters from like a year ago, a year and a half ago. So I'll finally be getting to those today. So thank you for your letters. Sorry that I have been incredibly out of order. But this tax burden to me is very, very disheartening right now, because there's monies, you know, there's monies in, not necessarily in my name, but in our name, my wife and myself, Chiz and Wiggly. But that money is to go towards a house that we hope to get. Now, supposedly we have this house, and I've been sending out links to it on my Facebook. Chiz has plastered a whole album worth of photos that were used to sell the house. But this house is on a short sale. And what that means is that it's really not ours until the last bit of ink is dry on the sales slip. What do you do when you buy a house? Your sales, you know, the thing. The contract, the writ of habeas corpus. Yeah, I'm having a hard time with my headphones now because I'm wearing a hockey helmet, a hockey mask, you know, as a hat, and then I have my headphones on top of that. But it's not ours until the deed is finally finalized, because on a short sale, this means that the banks own it. Now, the problem is that there's two banks involved, and they were both quibbling about how much money each bank should get out of what we've offered for the home. And there's also this type of short sale is also on this 35K type of gimmick, which is a loan, which is a mortgage, which I knew of way back in the day when I started to try to do my, I made $7 zillion in real estate yesterday. I was researching that, you know, back in the 70s. Remember, I've been bipolar my whole life. It's just recently that in the past 10 years that, you know, we put a name on it. So back in the 70s and early 80s, I guess, you know, I went in for these late night hucksters of the real estate type of gimmicks. And I remember them talking about loans. You finance for the value of the home, although you're paying the seller much less. And in this way, you take that extra money and fix up the house with what you finance for. And that's sort of what this K gimmick mortgage that they're offering with this is. It's an HRA, so we won't be using Chizzy's military thing. It's HRA, I think. Is that what it's called? Yeah, I tell you what. My noodle is scrambled, but it's been a month and I don't know how long. So anyway, to make a long story short, right now, their real estate agent tried to pull a fast one, saying that we needed to pay two grand up front to the seller, and that might not even be legal. I mean, that might have put the whole kibosh on the whole thing. So now, you know, they're going through all this rigmarole to find out where they're going to come up with this extra $2,000. But it looks pretty good for us. Nobody else wants the house because it's a giant apartment, you know. It's a giant, like, not apartment, but it looks like an old hotel or something, which it isn't. And but it's going to have plenty of room. I'm going to be able to stop renting the space in Allentown that I now currently rent for our go-go's. You know, it's very sad that we're going to not have our freight elevator opening, but who knows, because we might build an outside elevator on this house, because I know that the third floor entrance, which is really just like a fire escape type of thing, it's a fire escape looking type of thing, I should say. It doesn't have the ladder that comes down, folds down. It's a set of steps, but it's sort of made out of the same material as a sort of a fire escape would be made out of. But that has its own entrance to the third floor, because at one time that was an apartment, complete with its own water heater and things like this, and fuse box. But right now it's just a gutted hole. It's a mess. The water heater's still up there, but it, you know, it's like leaning against a wall, and there's a whole bunch of other things wrong with the third floor, but that will easily be turned into the new go-go studio, the new trapdoor practice hall. And it's really, really cool, but there's a lot of work that still needs to be done on the house. But that's where the house situation is. My mental state has gone through some changes as well since last month. I probably hit one of the lowest places I've been in the past 6 years since I've not had health care. And my manic episodes had been increasing. I've been increasingly depressed and things like this. So it was getting very, very bad. And in fact, our first big shot on We Talk Games, and let me talk about that as soon as I'm done with my Lamictal. Thank you. I'm back on Lamictal. It's very good. But one of our biggest interviews on We Talk Games, Yukihara Sanbe, the chief technology officer, 30 years executive director of Taito, on the phone with We Talk Games. And, of course, this is our first Japanese interview. Now, we've done Japan before. We had David Akers of Klax fame. But, you know, he's an American living abroad. So that was there was no type of language barrier here. Here, we're talking about Taito. We're talking about something very corporate. The head of PR had to be in the room, you know, on a conference call. It was a conference call with the person that set it up, Sanbe-san, and the PR agent. And it's 2:30 in the morning for me, around 2:30, 3 o'clock. It's the same day that I have, you know, Thursday morning. I'm going to have to go into work later, and it's the first time I'm going to be visiting my psychiatrist. And I also think we're filming some go-go stuff. There was a big deal happening on Wednesday that I can't recall what all went down on Wednesday. I mean, it was right in the middle of one of the busiest days in the past year. And one of my lowest points, that was where all the lows was leading up to, because that day was the day I was going to see my psychiatrist and get back on the Lamictal. So right up until there, here comes, you know, one of our most important interviews. And I got to tell you, I've been on a stage, I've performed in front of thousands and thousands of people at, you know, a single sitting. I got up and did complete improv at the Three Bakers, which was a dinner theater. And, you know, did pratfalls and it just complete spur of the moment type of things. Did a song that that the organist didn't really know. So, you know, I'm not adverse to tense situations. I never had stage fright. I had stage fright. I'm on the phone with Sanbe-san. I just was like blah. But I think it all came out in the mix, and they were very gracious. They were very nice, and we can hear that on the next We Talk Games, which we've yet to really start doing anything with, except planning phases on what the topics will be. So I went to see the psychiatrist first time in 6 years. Now that I have health care again, let me tell you, so much has changed in 6 years. I mean, I remember my psychiatrist being interested in what type of health care I had, but, you know, that was the receptionist, and, you know, they just asked, like, once. I've never been on the phone so much with people that the first thing is about your health care. I had blood work done. I must have been asked for my health care I don't know how many times. And also repeated about fasting about 7 times before I had the blood drawn. Even while I was having the blood drawn, she's asking me, did I fast? Yes, I did. And by the way, everything's pretty good on the blood work, except my triglyceride level is kind of double what it should be, which is bad. So, you know, the vegetarian lifestyle is very good. The vegetarian lifestyle where you eat large quantities of cheese is not good. I have to go back to being more of a vegan, which is where I would really like to be because I felt a lot better. I didn't have a lot of my guts that I have now. But, you know, sometimes it's so easy to just get a pizza and, you know, hey, you know what? Don't make it tomato pie. Go ahead, put that cheese on there. It tastes pretty good. But I tell you, when I was off cheese for a year and I started eating cheese again, I was like, ugh, this tastes terrible. How could, it's so like pungent and, it's bitter. And, but then, you know, slowly you wean yourself back on cheese and then you're hooked because it's so easy. You know, when you're first getting off of things like high fructose corn syrup, you really notice how many things have high fructose corn syrup in when you're trying to avoid it. And the same goes with cheese. When you're first starting to stop cheese and milk products, all milk products, you realize how every frickin' thing has some sort of whey and, you know, cheese and dried milk and dairy and, you know, dairy's in everything. Next to corn, you know, I would think dairy. We don't really, you know, we see movies like King Corn and things like this. Corn's in everything that we eat in the United States pretty much. Now, if you go to Europe, it's quite different. I know many candy manufacturers have to make special versions of their candy that are sans high fructose corn syrup when they go to Europe. They just have to use pure cane sugar, which is a lot more expensive than, you know, buying the cheap corn products and corn sweeteners. Well, same for cheese. I mean, cheeses and milk products are in just about everything. But I got to see my psychiatrist, and they asked a lot about the, you know, insurance. And I go in this, how did I get this happen? I tried for, I don't know, a month and a half to call different psychiatrists and got no love. And no one was taking new patients or they would not return my phone call. A Chizzy's sister works with a doctor. And that doctor called in a favor to his one psychiatrist friend, and that's how I got in. So there I am on the psychiatrist lunch break, and he was really great. He was awesome. Really, really good psychiatrist. And, you know, usually you go to psychiatrists and you're there for 10 minutes, you know, tops, 10, 15 minutes. They just sort of evaluate your situation and then figure out what to prescribe. Here I went in knowing what I was missing, since I had this prescribed many, many years ago, six years ago, Lamictal, ODT, that just means orally disintegrating tablets. It doesn't have gelatin in it, which I was very happy for, which many of your instant dissolving things will have. And UK listeners will be delighted to know that the Lamictal orally disintegrating tablets do come in black currant flavor. So don't worry, you know. You're not going to be missing your black currant flavored anticonvulsatory. It's all good. We got you covered. In the States, we have mint, peppermint flavored, which is a ripoff. Now, I had my first black currant flavored Starburst. Actually, because the Starbursts don't contain gelatin when they go to the UK, so as they do in the United States. So I had one of those, and I really liked it. I had two of them. I had one, and then I was going to save one to eat on a show, but then I got hungry and ate it. I was so hungry. I needed that one little square Starburst. That was really going to fill me up. Okay. So, I finally get my Lamictal, and this is awesome. It had been a terrible morning since 2:30 a.m. Didn't get enough sleep, of course. Went in to see the psychiatrist. Everything went well with that. I found a place with no trouble. My map didn't take me to a back alley like it did when I went to see my therapist. Then I went into work. I went into work for maybe about an hour and a half, I think, at tops. After I left the office, I took my... when did I take this? I took this right before I went into my job. That's right. I took this right before I went into my work. I only stayed there about an hour and a half because I had already made up all my hours before the Thursday. But I thought I'd stop in because, you know, sometimes the mornings are kind of crazy there and make sure everything was good. Maybe I didn't even stay. You know what? I don't even think I stayed an hour and a half. I think I might have only stayed an hour or a half hour to an hour, I think, just to make sure everything was cool. And then afterwards, I went to the Wegmans to pick up some food that I'd also been missing. And on my way, very short, you know, it was like 5 minutes in there, zip, zip, in and in and out. And on my way to my car from the Wegmans, whoops, I realized that, hey, the chatter has ceased in my brain. Now, I was in a very unique position to be able to evaluate this. Because the first time when I went on the MGTOW, you know, it was the lowest point in my entire life. It was horrible. It was a very, very terrible time. And so I had put a big push on getting help from all sides. I was doing the Midwest Center for Anxiety and Depression's thing on my own. I was doing that. I was meditating. I was exercising. I was seeing a therapist, Mr. Joseph, and I went and saw a psychiatrist and was prescribed with Lamictal. So I was doing like many, 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 many different things and, you know, attacking it from all sides and really getting on it. But this time I was in a very unique position to notice that, you know, for 6 years I had been that I was off medication, I really was spending so much of my energy that I can honestly say, you know, I bet only 10, 20% of myself was really able to come through spending all this energy of trying to hear what I was thinking, trying to hear what I was saying, trying to hear what I was trying to communicate. Because all these voices, all these, I'm not saying that I hear voices, I just hear chatter. It's a chatter. It's not white noise, it's a chatter. No one's saying anything to me. Kill the girl! You know, nothing happened. Like, I'm a dog, listen to me, Sam! Samsung, rather. Samsung, there you go. Wow, I didn't even know that. So this Lamictal, I was in a very unique position to really understand how much energy I had to put into just quelling that. So, you know, it's very important that if you suffer from depression or whatever, or bipolar disorder or manic depression or what have you, that finding a psychiatrist that is going to put you on something that's going to help you and not hinder you is very, very important. Now, that was a unique instance because with Lamictal, you have to start out with 25 milligrams for 2 weeks, then go up to 50 milligrams for 2 weeks and 100 milligrams for 7 weeks and or for 1 week, and then you can go from there because you can develop the deadly rash. Yeah, some type of rash that you could get that will kill you, evidently. So you don't want that to happen. I don't think I'm going to get the rash, but for me to get back up to my 150 is going to take a long time. So the first week, although, you know, almost immediately, I noticed something happening in my noodle. The 25 milligrams just wasn't cutting it. So I've still been pretty depressed and a lot of flip-flopping going on. But right now I'm still only on my 50 milligrams. Once I get up to 100 and 150, I think it will have a much greater impact as long as I also do some other things. So that's me. I think that's about it. We Talk Games has been putting a crimp on my spare time, but it's a great crimp. It's a very challenging, you know, this is everything so far, sweet with the sour, the good with the bad, the sweet with the sour, no doubt about that. But nothing has paid off so much as my We Talk Games efforts. Now, Jakara has been an albatross. I don't know if that's real. I know an albatross is real, but I don't know if that's what really describes this, if that's a good analogy. It has been consuming more of my time than any other project. Definitely Jakara. These new episodes are just quite tedious and time consuming and put together. And you know, just for the little transitions that happen, the little volumetrics effects that I have going on, those light fades and things like this. You know, that was that was a $400 application of plugin rather. And I mean, Factory FX, I love it. It's great. I don't know where I'd be without it, without those transitions. I mean, that's why I took the plunge. Now, I talked about this on an earlier episode. I got it at a discount. But still, all in all together, when I bought the things I needed for it, it turned out to be, you know, like a $400 investment. And for a single studio like me, for just, you know, me, that's a big investment. That's like, you know, when individuals buy Photoshop. It's such, ooh, you know, that it really hurts. It really hurts. Yeah, these are powerful tools, but you know, those are prices built made for like studios. But I think this is still even just single seating, you know what I mean? That is, every seat that you would have in your studio would need, every workstation rather, would need this, would incur this $400 price tag plus, you know, and there's this great fix plugin, PHYX plugin for punching out for green screen work. And I would love it. But it's a $200 plugin. So so that's on the video side of the house. On the audio side of the house, We Talk Games. I see really, really big things for this product, for this project. You know, none of my things are really products. They're really projects. I like to make that distinction because they are passion projects, no doubt about it. We're not generating, you know, loads of cash from this product. In fact, we're not hardly generating anything, but except from the merch sales, and all that gets rolled back over. And speaking of rolling over, I mean, I've purchased so many games this past year. It's been silly, because not because I'm a crazy game nut. I mean, I'd rather have sex than play games, but because I want to have something to review for the show and interact with the community and things like this. You know, Billy Mitchell even put it on his moniker, his catchphrase, if you will, that's even emblazoned on the We Talk Games Co-op for Kids posters and novelty hot sauces that we released, bear the moniker, "Video games are for people who workers for people that can't play video games." That's what it is. And I say, "Video games are for people that can't have sex all the time." So that's my little moniker, and I'm going to get that t-shirt made up, never. But our merchandise, our pro gear is selling out. You know, we're going back to print on a few things. We have new posters available, a poster that Stinky had carried that crap around in his pocket for several years. And, of course, we merged with Video Power Magazine, which was a huge step that will propel We Talk Games to the next level. And the first step of that next level has implemented itself in what to me is one of my... I just peaked again. What to me is one of my best... one of my most... satisfying? No. Fulfilling projects I have worked on in a long time. And that is the We Talk Games website. If you go to WeTalkGames.com, I think we were the first, or at least one of the first, and maybe still the first. I don't know. You know, I don't really check out a lot of other people's game sites. I think we're one of the first that you can actually log in with your Twitter, Facebook, Google, Yahoo, OpenID. You can log in with 6 different forms of social media networking IDs. You don't even have to create an account. You just log right in with your existing account. If you have Twitter, if you have Facebook, you should be over on WeTalkGames.com. I don't know why you're not. If you're listening to this show, you're giving me a slap in the berries, because I put a lot of work into that to make it look as it is. Now, it's built on the frameworks of WordPress and BuddyPress. But then if you read the code, you can see all the credits that I give in there, and I break it down. But there's some bits on that are implemented that, you know, I've never seen anywhere else. And the fact that you can log in with all these other IDs, thanks to RPX, and thanks for me implementing RPX on there. I think it's a really, really sweet website. Now, I know that I've asked a lot of you to go to the Wiggly's World's message boards. Well, why aren't you there? I don't know. But the boards are becoming kind of heavy, and, it's mostly geared towards, I think, people that listen to this show go to my message boards. And I really wanted a place for We Talk Games to have a separate identity, because it really is different. It's really a different type of show. And I'm very, very, very proud of that project. In fact, I'm more proud of that project than I am of anything outside of Trapdoor. I mean, Trapdoor is my life. I am Trapdoor. I need to work more on Trapdoor. And I know I have a couple of music projects that I have to do in the very near future. In fact, before King of Trios? Oh, my gosh. I just realized that. That means I have to do that next week. Wow. Because Trios is next weekend, I think. Oh my gosh. Yeah. But please, go to WeTalkGames.com, log in with that thing, and then all you do is you click on My Dashboard. You can upload pictures, you could make an avatar for yourself. Definitely put your email address in there so that when people want to add you as a friend or whatever, and it's another little social networking type of thing. It's very light, it's very fun. We already have a great core community, but it's only 62 members right now. I expect it. I mean, that's not even 0.5 or 0.0, I don't know, 0.1, it's not even 0.1, percent of what we should be, what I expected on there. And that's expecting a lot less than what I expected. But it's like 0.1% of what I expected. It incredibly tanked the amount of people. But I love the core people that are on there. But mostly they're the people that have, been there the entire time, my entire run on the internet, and I'm very thankful for that. Some of them are new people, some of them like Eric Alex, and I even think, I really need to know when Ken Dudley came on board. I don't really know his whole history, but he's a great supporter of the things. But, everyone's over there. Kirby, Willy Cito, Pete Red. I mean, so many great, great people, and I don't mean to not mention you, but it's a lot of fun. And a lot of neat stuff. So please, check out WeTalkGames.com. I poured a lot of work into it just for the Mega Slide feed burp. I mean, geez, that's something. And then the Waitendo Guest Boy, which was something that Kyle Von Kubik has been, on my butt to get something like this done, where we just have our special guests on there. He had mentioned, we put a Famicom cartridge or something, you could click on them and then be taken to a link or do this, that, and the other. And then he started sending me these Game Boy little snapshots of people and the isolated clips of their interviews. And I was like, well, I guess I really have to build it now. And it all came together with this website idea, this whole social networking sort of idea. And to me, I visit that several times a day, and so do many of the regulars. So I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. You know, there's still some wrestling chatter. It's going to, of course, bleed over, and that's fine, you know, whatever. But we really try to keep it game-related. And, you know, even if you don't play a lot of games, board games, I mean, it's fine to talk about things like that. There, I have a in my photo album, I have a picture of a puzzle I put together last weekend when I was just trying to mellow out and chill out. You know, it's a Fantastic Four, but it was only a 200-piece puzzle, but I had a great time, you know, building it on the floor. I took a photo of that and stuck it up. So there's a lot to do, and there's one-sentence reviews. You can create a review of a game that's only one sentence long, and you can create groups. And join groups like, you know, like you see on these groups that you get pounded with every day. I bet this monkey could get more vote. I bet this pickle could get more fans than Nickelback and stuff like that, you know. Things that you don't want to see every day that fill your inbox. You could do that on We Talk Games. I think that's awesome. And there is such a group as that. And, you know, if the demand comes out, we can attach blogs to groups so that if you create a group and you want to make a blog on that group, I can enable that. I can make that happen. But, you know, whatever the community decides, I'll try to implement that on the site. And I'm very, very dedicated to making the site great. And believe me, there are a lot more, even more grandiose concepts that will hopefully implement themselves in We Talk Games over the next several months. I'm putting a big push on this program because I think it's awesome, including it being a more regular show. Now, the show proper might not be, but I'm already saying too much. But there's big things, I think, that may shock you even. Coming on We Talk Games, and I look forward to that. I'd love to do more. You know what? If I could break it down into just Wiggly World and We Talk Games, I'd be very happy. I love doing Chikara. It's been a long run. It's been 4 years. But I love making it. And if you've noticed, I've tried to at least think of something to do in our little toss two segments, even if they're very, very minuscule, like, you know, 1930s board games, you know, dropping mentions of that and stuff. So, and this last episode, I teach you how to be a human calculator. So, you know, I try to do little fun bits. I had the first iPad. If you saw that episode, it was a disaster because it's really, you know, my new. I talked about that in the last episode. Here we go with your letters. Thank you for indulging me in what I've been doing. That's 36 minutes of just what I've been doing. And believe me, there's a lot more that went on, but even I have forgotten. It. When I tell you that I do a year's worth in a month, I don't think I'm exaggerating. I really don't. It's kind of crazy. And back on the Lamictal, I noticed that, you know, it's really been helping, but I have also been noticing that recently I've been having a problem with spending. I really have to watch that. And I've also been having, these are common symptoms of bipolar disorder, and I've been falling into a lot of these classic symptoms, and I really have to be careful and I really have to watch and keep an eye out. And also not being able to go to sleep at all. Like, most mornings I'm up till 4, and when I have work the next morning, I have to be in the office at 9 a.m., you know, that's not good. It's not good for me. It's not good for health. So I really have to watch that. And the stress and everything else has been putting on a bit of a wiggly pot belly there. I'm not too happy with that. Maybe I have to revisit that. Maybe I have to, I don't have to necessarily revisit my weight loss tips because but I do have to clarify. When I've said in the past that the only diet that works is to eat less and move more, the old Hippocratic, the old Hippocrates saying. Now, I know that might have been also a mantra of the Bush administration, but they were using it in the wrong contents. I am saying that the only diet, if you go on a diet, And, you know, you'll see all these diet books, and they were quite a fad back when I made these statements. I said the only diet that works is to eat less and move more. Burn more calories than you eat, and you'll lose weight as a diet. But that is, you know, strictly speaking as a diet. There are other factors that, of course, will lend themselves to weight gain, and I answered this in subsequent letters I received from when I first said that on the shows. And, you know, definitely stress puts you in a mode where you want to store fat. And, you know, of course, heredity, genetics has a lot to do with it as well. And, you know, certain other various types of things. And maybe, you know, Tupayar came on a show, is a great part of the We Talk Game show as well. He brought a lot to that that show. And he first contacted me on A Wiggly World about diabetes and stuff like that. And, you know, diabetes is a very serious problem that you can have with weight gain. Type 2 diabetes, you could lose your limbs. My great-grandmother had both her legs chopped off because of diabetes. You can lose, you could go blind. You know, this is very serious stuff. So I never meant to trivialize weight gain or weight loss or anything like that by stating the old Hippocrates adage. I just state it as compared to diets and dieting, that is the only diet that is actually going to give you results, you know. Of course, exercising is a big part of anything. But, you know, there's some things that are going to escape that umbrella. Ricky Elmo. Remember Ricky Elmo? I do. Ricky Elmo. Hey, Wiggly, I hope you have a great holiday. I don't know if you remember me right now. December 22nd. Okay, so here we go. Rewriting you to you on your older podcast as Ricky Elmo. But at that time, a few years ago, I told you that you had changed my life a bit. You really made me question a lot of things and helped me find a way of my own. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but I just graduated high school earlier this year, and I've been listening to your voice since my freshman year. So throughout my whole high school life, you have been a major part of it. Wow. You know, I've really been receiving a lot of emails like this lately, and of course this wasn't lately, but lately I have, and, you know, it's, I just open a mic and go, and I'm just as grateful that your earballs are on the other end, you know what I'm saying? It's, anything you say to me, right back at you. I'll try not to make this message too much longer, but I was wondering if there was a way I could donate anything to you, or is there any way of sending you a present so I can properly thank you for all that you have unwillingly given me. I always felt bad that I could never donate to you over the past few years, but I would like to try and make it up to you. Once again, thank you, Wiggly, and have a happy holiday. You know, no. In fact, you know, I did away with even the monthly things, and I talked about this on past shows. You know, I mean, I have a Amazon wish list. I have you know, donate links on my website on wigglesworld.com. I have several albums in iTunes. I have the Pro Gear store on We Talk Games. All my projects have products and links associated with them. I have ringtones on Mixer.com. I got another 20 cents this month from last month's revenue off of that. You know, big, that's, hey man, that's my retirement right there. Mixer.com/trapdoor. And one of the reasons that my taxes were, to me, so high, to you, probably not. What you have to realize is, yeah, I owe $5,000, But that's after I took thousands and thousands of dollars in deductions for, you know, my new Mac, things I needed for the shows, two mixing boards that I purchased over the past year, a projector that I purchased over the past year from, you know, my DJ, my live show things. So there, I had some big, big tickets items to try to get that to go away. The problem was that I made, when all things were said and done, around $2,000 off of podcasting. Now, that also includes Chikara, okay? And that was mostly due to the 2 or 3 months that I was still, you know, it might have even gone longer. It went longer for that. I'm sorry, never mind. For the times that I had those recurring subscription fees in place. Now, that's good. If I had still kept that going, it would be even better. But because I stopped it, and it was still in place last year, that extra $2,000 just put me over the tax brackets. And the tax bracket jump was not $1,000. The tax bracket jump was not $2,000 that I was over. The tax bracket jump was a 10% in addition to. I went from having 15% of my income taxed to having 25% of my income taxed. And I don't know exactly how much of a gain that is. It's another 10% on to that, but I don't know what the percentage of adding 10% to 25% over 15% is. So that's why I phrased it that way, and now I've gone on and explained it down to sort of like explaining a joke. It just, you know. So that, you know, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? It's the sweet with the sour. I really don't want to talk about my taxes because, I had to get on a payment plan. Now, I hope that the federal government accepts that payment plan. I realize that I made an error on my taxes, so I hope that, you know, that doesn't go sour. I think I did. I'm not sure. But let's not think about that. But, you know, I mean, there's things out there if you really want to make, things happen. But really, if you're a kid just getting out of high school, Jesus, you don't, you know, you need to save your money. I the reason that I had to get rid of the recurring subscriptions is because it was just the poor supporting the poor. You know what I mean? It was, and I'm not going to say that the people that were subscribing were less off than me, but I'm just saying that, you know, we're just everyday Joes. I mean, those things were out there for people that really could afford to do something. That's what my links are there for. If you can afford it, then to make it happen. But it was breaking my heart to see people that I know are struggling with their own things, wanting to help me. I can't take that pressure. So, you know, if you're a kid, you know, don't worry about it, man. I'm here doing it, you know. Jesus, just listening. If you're a kid, that's really something. Eric, oh, good. This is good here. I thought this might be of interest to you. Not only can the Texas Board of Education keep their personal ideology, out of science classrooms, but now they're muddling the water of history to be even more pro-white male American. They even have had Thomas Jefferson's works removed from those that inspired the Enlightenment. This once again proves that Texas is the most aneurysm-inducing state in the Union. This in from the New York Times by James McKinley Jr. The Texas conservatives win curriculum change. After 3 days of turbulent meetings, the Texas Board of Education on Friday approved a social studies curriculum that will put a conservative state. Boy, you wouldn't think that my brain is clearer, but hey, it's a rough day still nonetheless. A social studies curriculum that will put a conservative stamp on history and economics textbooks, stressing the superiority of American capitalism, questioning the Founding Fathers' commitment to a purely secular government, and representing Republican political philosophies in a more positive light. Yes, you know, those founding fathers, they really didn't want to keep the government secular. It was really a Christian nation. That's why the First Amendment to the Constitution guarantees the freedom of religion. The vote was 10-5 among party lines, with all the Republicans on the board voting for it. The board, whose members are elected, have influence beyond Texas because the state is one of the largest buyers of textbooks. In the digital age, however, the influence has diminished as technological advances have made it possible for publishers to tailor books to individual states. In recent years, because of the ability to print books in different ways, you can tailor your books to individual states, I see. This is the first time I'm reading this with you. In recent years, board members have been locked in an ideological battle between a block of conservatives who question Darwin's theory of evolution and believe the founding fathers were guided by Christian principles, and a handful of Democrats and moderate Republicans who have fought to preserve the teaching of Darwin and the separation of church and state. Since January, Republicans on the board have passed more than 100 amendments to the 120-page curriculum standards affecting history, sociology, and economics courses from elementary to high school. These standards were proposed by a panel of teachers. We are adding balance, said Dr. Don McLeroy, the leader of the conservative faction on the board after the vote. History has already been skewed. Academia is skewed too far to the left. And we are adding balance. Last episode, I don't think I get any more clear on how I feel about this added balance than last episode. Battles over what to put in science and history books have taken place for years in the 20 states. Okay, so we can just go on about that. There's some more stuff here. It's good stuff. Efforts by Hispanic board members to include more Latino figures as role models for the state's large Hispanic population were consistently defeated, prompting one member, Mary Helen Barlanga, to storm out of the meeting late Thursday night, saying, "They can just pretend this is a white American and Hispanics don't exist. They're going overboard. They are not experts. They are not historians," she said. "They are rewriting history not only of Texas, but of the United States and the world." Indeed. You know, Spain had explorers as well. Jesus. The conservative members maintain that they are trying to correct what they see as a liberal bias among the teachers who proposed the curriculum. To that end, they made a dozen of minor changes aimed at calling into question, among other things, concepts like the separation of church and state and the secular nature of the American Revolution. "I reject the notion by the left of a constitutional separation of church and state," said David Bradley, a conservative from Beaumont who works in real estate. "I have $1,000 for the charity of your choice if you can find that in the Constitution." Well, everybody that's watched Saturday morning cartoons in the 70s and early 80s knows the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect human union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America." And then the rest of the Constitution goes on to talk about the legislative branch of the government, the presidency, the judiciary branch, the states, the amendment process, the legal status of the Constitution, ratification, and then the signers. The U.S. Now, if he's speaking about that U.S. Constitution, true, there probably is nothing in there about the separation of church and state. This happened in September 17th, 917 of 1787. And then the Bill of Rights, the amendments to the Constitution, which talk more in depth about the rights of people, talk about slavery, talk about a lot of other income tax, the repeat of the 18th Amendment, the presidential tenure goes more into depth as they're as they have to now become more aware of what's going on. And once again, did I mention when this was? Amendments 1 through 10. Let's go here. In Wednesday, the 4th of March, 1789. So in 1789, not even 2 years later, the amendments came out, the Bill of Rights being the first of them. And in the Bill of Rights, that is where we find as Amendment number 1, Congress shall pass no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition a government for a redress of grievances. Now, I'm sure that Mr. Starch Socks would not be adverse to freedom of speech, although he may be. But definitely not for freedom of his speech, I can tell you that. Jefferson, Madison, and the Wall of Separation. The phrase, a hedge or wall of separation between the garden of the church and the wilderness of the world, was first used by Baptist theologian Roger Williams, the founder of the colony of Rhode Island, in his 1644 book, The Bloody Tenet of Persecution. The phrase was later used by Thomas Jefferson as a description of the First Amendment and its restrictions of the legislative branch of the federal government in an 1802 letter. The Danbury Baptist, a religious minority concerned with the dominant position of Congressionalist church in Connecticut, assuring that their rights as a religious minority would be protected from federal interference. That from Wikipedia. Separation of church and state in the United States. So, yeah, you know, it's obvious our founding fathers were not around 2 years later after the Constitution was written to write all the other amendments that we still go by and still, govern our states by. So take your $1,000 and stick it up your real estate buttocks. You're probably the guy that's trying to get the that extra $2,000 paid to the sellers, bookies, loan sharks. They also include a plank to ensure that students learn about the conservative resurgence of the 1980s and 1990s, including Phyllis Schlafly, the Contract with America, the Heritage Foundation, the Moral Majority, and the National Rifle Association. Good, crazy. Well, you know what? They're part of our country. And I hope people would learn about them so that they could, you know, see one way or the other. Now, as long as this is presented fair and balanced, I have no problem with that. Dr. McLeroy, a dentist by training, pushed through a change to the teaching of the civil rights movement to ensure the students study the violent philosophy of the Black Panthers in addition to the nonviolent approach of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. What about the nonviolent elements of the Black Panthers as well? What about that? What about that they're real, that they were real people? What about that, what causes a group like the Black Panthers to emerge? And believe me, I'm not one for violence against anything, but there's a reason that these groups come about. He also made sure the textbooks would mention the votes. Did he also, insist that the Ku Klux Klan gets, mentioned as well and find out about them? Those nice white folk that don't want anybody that's different from them to be in the United States, which is their country, including me. Textbooks would mention the votes, and Catholics, that's for sure, votes in Congress on civil rights legislations, which Republicans supported. Republicans need a little credit for that, he said. I think it's going to surprise some students. Listen, I'm not for saying any one group or, conservatives aren't right and this guy, I don't care about that. I don't care about Republicans and Democrats. They both can kiss my dukkus. But I do care when people want to say, that I do care when people want to force their ideology down your throat and make it mandatory curriculum to and alter history, you know. You know, I'm not ready to speak on this, actually. Thanks for pointing that out, though. I've spoken about this on so many past episodes of A Wiggly World. But it did stimulate something in my mind about taxes. This really, you know, boy, talk about scatterbrained and going all over the place, jumping from one thing to the next. Definitely, you know, I'd always been one to not support when I'm speaking about that jump from 15% taxes and I went to 25% taxes. I've never been one to support a flat tax, which means that everyone gets taxed the same percentage. I definitely think that if you make more money and can afford to pay more taxes, that's fine. But I think that the jump gaps are way out of proportion. I think it should be more of a slope leading up to more taxes as you increase your income than these giant jumps. You know, 15% to 25%, then the whatever 35% and whatever it goes up to over that. I didn't look because I wasn't really concerned with it. I definitely think that our income tax and our federal tax is just needs to really be reexamined. Now, when I say that I think it is fair to not have a flat tax, I don't mean to say that you should be penalized for being successful in the United States of America. But I do think that people that are in the upper echelon of income, ones that are making, you know, exorbitant amounts of money, most likely made much of that money not from their physical labors. Yeah. And I'm not trying to equate physical labor to brain labor as being, you know, you can't compare the two. They're both on the same play field. Okay. You can be very, very smart and very savvy, and you should be rewarded for that with your income, and you usually are. But what I'm saying is that most of the people that are throwing, that have yachts, and they invite the politicians out to their yachts or their big galas and their big balls, they have direct contact with those people in power. So I think that should come with a price. You don't usually see someone that's ready to have to live on the streets palling around with their politician buddies, okay? So they don't have as much influence on politics. So what should their percentage of their income tax be if they're not influencing, except with their votes of who to put in power, but they're not talking on a daily basis with you. They're not fraternizing. They're not having yacht parties and, you know, drinking Perrier and munching down on fish eggs and stuff with these people. So I think that does fit in, you know, with having to pay more taxes because you have more of an influence. Now, I could be wrong, but I am for a sliding, scale of taxation, based on your income, but I am for a more reasonable one that might, I mean, in some forms of statistics might be considered a flat tax because the gap wouldn't be so great. I mean, you're already going to be paying more. If you make more, 10% will be a larger amount of money than someone that makes less than you at 10%. But I think that people that can afford more can pay more taxes, and I think that they get more, you know, from paying those more taxes. Now, maybe there are a lot of very rich people out there that have no political influence. I don't know. I've never been in that position. I've always been just scraping by. I mean, there's been times I've been comfortable, but those times really didn't last very long. Usually whenever I got comfortable, that was the end of that run, you know. And it wasn't self-defeating, that's for sure. Circumstances beyond my control. So that brings that to mind. Now, back to this business about, Texas school board, and, it's not surprising. And I gotta tell you, really, for the time being, it might be very bad, but this can only have a bad backlash. When you lie to people, you're going to suffer repercussions down the road. People are going to find you out, and they're going to be bitter about it. It's like people that, find out, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Jesus, they're all fictitious. That makes people angry. Some people angry. And they rebel against that twofold. You get that squared back at you. Some people. Not all people. So it can only... When we were on this whole conservative ride with the terror threats constantly... And all this other BS that came out of the goofball administration, the Bush administration, I knew that this was only going to help rational thought in the long run, because people were going to realize one day that, hey, why can't I send anything over 8 ounces through the mail without having to give it to someone in person? This is going to have a backlash, even something as obscure as that. Wiggly, Jason, Fat City Slim. Just wanted to thank you for the kick-ass We Talk Game shirt and bumper stickers, the pin, and the awesome inspirational sign. When life gets tough, so do I. That was from Kyle's younger brother, I think, had a stack of those. The one-of-a-kind Kyle Von Kubik autographed show badge were a great surprise. You made my week. Oh, that's nice. Great show last week. With the Billy Mitchell, see, this is from September 24th of 2009. I also salute his tie. Yeah, I also salute his tie. Yes, that's how I signed off. Keep on keeping the show stacked. Fat City Slim, thanks, man. Glad you're still listening there. Hope you're on that new We Talk Game social media site. It's great. Oh yeah, I also updated my Wiggly's World site. Hey, if you are in the market for CS5 for Adobe, I have a link on my Wiggly's World site, as well as Audible. Now, Audible, I've always wanted to be involved with Audible, because I've always been a member of Audible Book Club. It's audiobooks, of course. And even through the really, really rough times of not even being able to afford a sandwich, I still maintained my Audible subscription. I had to downgrade my type of subscription, but I still kept it, because you get one free magazine, one free book a month, and you can, and that's like the $15 is the low level fee, and you can get that, and that's like magazines, four weekly magazines you could be subscribed to if that is a full month's worth for you, or and in addition one book, and you can get books that are like selling for $40 on there for your $15. So I really, really, and they have sales all the time too. You can buy inexpensive books as well, and so I've always enjoyed Audible, and I have links for a UK version of Audible as well as the US version on wigglesworld.com, and hopefully by next show and the next We Talk Games, if that's relevant, I have to look at their gaming books. I don't even know if they have any. You're going to listen to books about gaming. Well, why not? I will have a show link, like named, gimmick where I could tell you put in a code and then you'll get a free book from them that's yours to keep forever. Hey there, Wig. I've been a longtime listener of Wiggly's World, SWF, We Talk Games, and as of late, Magic Milkshake Machine. I just wanted to say thank you so much for everything you do for your fans and listeners. We all really appreciate it. You've kept me company throughout many days and nights over the past few years, and for that, I could never fully reciprocate. Keep up everything you're doing, as long as you can handle it and are passionate about it. There are a lot of people out there who are in your corner, and we're all rooting for you. Thanks, man. Thanks, Anthony. That was from, August 2nd, 2009. You're welcome. I don't know. Did I read this? I don't know. I don't think so. It's Matty P. It's been a long time since I've written to a Wiggly World. I gave you a size 14 font. I hope this helps you and doesn't screw you up. I have also printed this as I decided to use snail mail and send this along with the dollar bills that you hopefully got. I'm shaking this and none come out, so I must have already bought a sandwich with that. It's well deserved, and as I don't use PayPal, I feel this is a good way to get you at least a small portion of the cash that you deserve. Well, thank you very much for that, Manny P. I've listened to this particular podcast off and on for the last year and a half and have really gotten into it lately. As you know, I've been following your work beginning with the wrestling show for over 2.5 years. I always love it, and I see a new episode downloading in my feed. I always love it when I see a new episode downloading in my feed. My main problem is that I'm always backed up on episodes. Now you're not, because it's been a long time. I wanted to write in about the moon landing conspiracy theory show that I saw on the National Geographic channel, and I told you about it. I agree with your theory that it would have been harder to fake the moon landing than it would have been to actually do it. It would have been harder to make it look convincing. There you go. It probably wouldn't have been a lot easier to film it, but to make it look like it's real, that would have been, a more challenging feat than the whole mission put together. I think this particular show was a really good way at showing the most common arguments and then debunking them. Yeah, the National Geo, Nat Geo did a great job on it. I didn't, however, like how many, mainly it was what seemed to be a 70-year-old retired man that was coming up with all these myths. Well, unfortunately, that's really where all these things stem from, you know? They came from basically those two folks. Yeah, Hoagland as well, and other people jumped on it, but what you also have to realize is that a lot of these people that may be purporting these myths or conspiracies, they don't agree to be on camera, you know. Some of these people, it's like your flat earthers. Yeah, there's flat earthers out there, but do they really want to be on television? I guess they want to be on The View, but that's about it. I'll totally switch gears now to religion. I was born and raised Catholic, and throughout my high school, I made money playing piano at masses, although after listening to your shows and doing much this sounds familiar, but maybe it's just because I read it. Research on my own, I started a lot to doubt that there is a God or a heaven. I still believe that, I don't know what to say to that, except heaven. Heaven's, believing in heaven's different than believing in God. Now, sometimes people think that heaven goes along with God. But I think that heaven's even more of a stretch than God is, just to break in. Because, you know, we've been up to where people thought heaven was, you know. We've been beyond that. And then it had to become more of a mystical plane of that really doesn't exist. But, you know, the more and more I study, the more I do research, many people, you know, didn't think it was really up above the clouds. Many people did believe this was purely a mythical place, even when they were writing about these things happening there. I still believe, even your own Bible really doesn't, never mentions people, it mentions people going to be with God, but it doesn't mention people, it doesn't mention people going and living in a heaven. Heaven is a place where God lives. The streets are made of gold and things like this. A few people have gone up there, Moses, but they went to be with God, which, you know, whatever you want to read into that. But Jesus was, if you're talking New Testament, and certainly people in the Old Testament didn't believe they were going to heaven. The New Testament, you're talking about Jesus bringing his kingdom to earth. No one's going to go to heaven. You know, he's bringing the kingdom to earth, on earth as it is. And you even say it in your creed, on earth as it is in heaven. They're going to make a new heaven on earth, and that's where you're going to be. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses take it a little bit further, and they say, well, we're going to go out and populate planets. And some people will be in heaven, like the ruling class. But then, you know, Earth will be a paradise and there'll be lions. You can lay on them, take a nap under a tree. And maybe we'll go to other planets and also colonate those. I still believe the church is... Now, I could be wrong about that planet thing, and that might have been something that they dropped, but I remember at a time when that was being spoken about, that other planets, you know, people be able to live, because you're going to run out of room to live comfortably if everyone's given the amount of space that is promised to them. I think there's some cubics or something, cubits. I have nothing before me, so to research this would just be time prohibitive. Oh, I got to get out of here, actually. Jeez. Time flies. Oh, this is only my second letter. There's a whole stack of letters here. Okay, but anyway, we're out in heaven. I still believe that church is a good place to get values, although that what they preach about heaven and hell may not be real. I think that church has made me a better person. I attend youth groups all through high school and have made many close friends. Now, is that buzz coming through on air or just in my headphones? Okay, let's stop. I attended youth groups all through high school and have made many close friends, but since my questioning of faith, I have come to a conclusion that the church is a good place to get good values, although there are many things I don't agree with. Sex before marriage and the whole rules about homosexuality and abortion don't sit well with me, but I still think you can become a good person from church. I find it hard to sit through a mass and always hear the little wiggly voice inside me during the readings. The main point is I think you can become a good person because of church, even though 98% of what they say is BS. By the way, did you know that 79% of all statistics are made up? I love the story you told of the church with the alarm. Oh, yeah. It still is a bother. Wouldn't God be watching over the church, and wouldn't he protect the church from any evil? Apparently not. I wish God would cut the cords on that freaking out. You know, I don't mind if you want to alarm your church, but why you need an outdoor blower? Jesus. I love the new boards, and I think that this is the beginning of a new... He's talking about the new message boards. Great community being built. Freedom of speech, which I know you always wanted in your boards, has struck a chord with me recently. I've basically been banned from a group and a community that I've been a part of. I don't know if that's still going. I don't even read about it. I don't even go on that. Thanks again for help with the back catalog. Oh, yeah. If you don't know, everyone is welcome to my Wiggly. Well, it used to be only for contributors, but since I did away with that, I opened it up to everybody. Let's go to wigglysworld.com/members. And I think you could get it. I just want to double check on that. Wigglysworld.com or .org/members. Oh, yeah, there you go. So there's a whole bunch of poop up there you can go and look at. This upcoming semester will be starting in September, busy for me. Starting in September, I will be the musical director for my college theater group. We will be doing Chicago as long as we can for the rights to get the rights from the company. I am already very stressed as this is a big job. I look up to you both through music and podcasts. And geez, cheap plug here. Check out MattyP763.podomatic.com. I'm not sure if that's still in place. Hold on. Yep, that's where it's three men and a mic still is. I usually get it through Facebook. I click on his new shows. MattyP763.podomatic.com. And he also runs pro wrestling type of podcast as well. This is a podcast of my college radio show titled Three Men and a Mic. It is primarily sports talk show, but we also go off into random tangents and such. There won't be much new stuff on the feed until the middle of September when we will begin again. Yeah, this is April 9th, 2010, so you're doing good. I'll probably throw random things up there. Yeah, I gave Matty P some music for his stuff, too. Archie Carr will be making another New England trip in September. Yeah, I saw you there. It was great. Show in Springfield is just about 20 minutes from my college, and I will be wearing one of my two SWF shirts proudly. Well, I don't think that happened. And actually, I think this is September, so yeah, no, I didn't go to those. Never mind. I don't know what year this is from. Take good care and good luck in the coming months. With all the changes going on in your household with the wedding and such, yeah, this is before our wedding. Give my regards to Chizzy Matty P. Thanks, man. Yeah, just thought I'd break in now with a little bit of something from the pulpit. A little something from the beautiful Psalms. Now, Psalms was sung, you know, songs. It sounds very similar. And usually, they're not rhyming poems. They are parallelism, I believe it's called. That is where you say one thing and then you say it again a second time in a little bit different form. You change up you know, how you phrase it, but they're both saying the same thing. Little thing from Psalms 58:10. The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. Oops, there's my wife. And a little something from Numbers 31:15-18. After his soldiers had killed all of the men among the Midianites, Moses ordered his army officers to kill all of the male children, kill all of the non-virgin females, but to save alive all of the virgin girls for his troops. Yes, it's very lovely. And before that, Moses also, and the Israelites, took all the animals, all the goods from the Midianites, and then burned their towns. And speaking of TNA, I've been having a hard time getting through an entire episode of that. Yikes! Hoo-wee! You know, so many people have been, even from inside my own camp, have been wanting me to do a pro wrestling podcast again. And I gotta tell you, there's just nothing in there of interest to me. I mean, I certainly do an episode as I'm watching some of these shows as I can try to. I mean, I have to watch all the products in little bits, in little chunks. I can't even sit through an entire episode. And sometimes my DVR will record over one before I got to finish it. And then the next episode, they say something interesting happened with keys and locks and winning titles with keys and stuff. And then I was like, ah, crap, I wanted to see that. And then I go to look at it for finish watching, and like, oh, it's gone. I recorded Golden Girls over top of it. And I enjoy it more. And speaking of television, I mean, I'm so behind with all the shows. I mean, V has picked back up. Flash Forward has picked back up. Breaking Bad. All these things. I'm like a month and a half behind on these things. Oh, somebody really needs to build a hockey mask with headphones already built in, because this just is not working. But, you know, I said I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow through. But, you know, I don't know. Boy, I have so many things to read here. Greetings and happy holidays. This is December 24th. You know what? I better read through this real quick to see if it's pertinent, relevant. Yep, that's good. Back in March, I sent, now this is from December 24th. Jeez. That's why it's happy holidays. I sent you an email regarding the unfortunate situation my girlfriend and I found ourselves in, struggling with depression, financial issues, and TAFE courses. It's now been, college courses in the UK, I believe, which has now been a while since then. So for no reason other than to let you know how the particular scenario worked out, here's an update. Biggest news, I guess, is that our relationship didn't hold out. After a lot of pain and heartache, we decided it best to go our separate ways. But I promised to remain friends, something which we managed for months and months until circumstances meant that I couldn't cope. And more about that later. It wasn't a particularly painful breakup, and I moved back in a temporary live with my parents whilst we sort out a visa situation and hopefully permanent residency. Wow. Yeah, you know, relationships. You know, why we're a social animal. We have become more fixated on monogamy and things like this, and things work out well in monogamous relationships. Sometimes they don't work out. Some people stay with people for their entire lives. Other people do not. I think one nice thing about the human animal is that hopefully it's okay when things don't work out. Don't feel like a failure. I know that you might long for that other person. Maybe it wasn't your choice. Maybe it was your choice. Maybe it was mutual. But all this is temporary, and, you know, things change. Things change, friends. And that's okay, you know. It's okay. Work with it. Work with whatever you have. You can work with it. And good things can come about from this. And, you know, if you choose to take those paths, if you want it to be miserable, if you want it to be the end of the world, if you want it to be the end of the line, you can definitely go with that too. But why? Why waste your time? You know, we're on this earth in a flash of a pan. Might as well try to do the best with it that we can. And that's not positive thinking. It's not positive any hocus pocus mumbo jumbo. It's just, look, you know, I could be happy or I could be miserable. I would rather try to be happy with this. Now, you know, allow yourself time to be sad, and don't beat yourself up because you're sad. Yeah. But realize that, you know, with any situation, what I'm saying, with any situation, you can try to be okay with it. You can try to be good with it. And that's your choice. But, you know, you need to think, if you're together with a relationship, there's pain, you know, involved sometimes with the ending of these relationships. There's pain involved with losing a loved one, to any means. They moved away, they broke up with you, or they died. There's going to be pain, and allow yourself, to feel grief if, that's what you need to do for that time. But realize that, you know, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years, how are you going to feel about it? 50 years, you know, depending on how old you are, 10 years, 15 years. Was that going to be a big part of your life at that time? You know, probably not. So just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. As far as my youth work, college courses, TAFE college courses went, well, I didn't pass the semester. Listen, I just got invited to a graduation party of a lady that finally graduated nursing college courses. I think she's been going to these, let's see, 30 years. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't pass the semester, and the number of absences was too great, and I could not complete some of the assignments by the due date, which was a bit of a bummer. On the plus side, the TAF did offer me one last chance to resit the course. I never heard that word before. That's good. It would be an extra 6 months of study and an extra 5,000 UAD. But it would satisfy my visa requirements and allow me to stay in the country a bit longer. With a little financial aid from my parents and a lot of working late hours, I managed to club up the money and finish the courses, this time around. I now face Cert 4 youth work in the new year after the 5,000 UAD gulp. But the outlook on the education front looks good for now. So for that meantime, at least Australian immigration can't kick me out of the country, which is nice. Oh, very good. I see. So you're in Australia. Very nice. That's right. Now I'm getting everybody set in my head what we're talking about here. Regarding the state on my mental health, I have been visiting a counselor most weeks since March or so. Oh, it's great. And I find that it really helps. Yes. You know, little bits, man. Little bits. I think you need to come at things from all sides to get the most benefit from them. Sometimes I go and have no idea what I'm going to say, yet end up leaving an hour later. After having opened my heart to this strange woman and feeling a bit better. I have been formally diagnosed with depression, but I refuse to take and have not been prescribed any medication for personal reasons. That's fine. You know, it's fine if you want to do that, preferring cognitive behavioral therapy, which is having some success. Things are still aren't perfect. I am still prone to sporadic fits of depression, but I am more equipped now to deal with them than I was before. You know, and recognizing your states is very helpful as well, and helping other people recognize your states, helping other people know what you think would help them when they're in those states is really nice as well. There might also be a new girl on the horizon, but time will tell on that. I really hope all goes well there. Over the last few weeks, though, I have been troubled. I find that whilst, of course, I still care greatly about my ex, even though I do not love her in the same way I used to, I find myself deeply missing a lot of things that I had when I was in a relationship. Yeah, you know, relationships are good for a lot of things, man. No doubt about it. The security, the compassion, the knowledge that after, and you're in a, you know, you're in another country, so that's even something lumped on there, which could be a plus, you know. There's something that's a neutral, you know, that's a neutral being in another country, that you can exploit the benefits of whatever situation you're in. You know, take the situation you're in, see what benefits of that situation you can exploit. Treat it as a neutral situation and see what good things you might be able to pull out of something. The security, the compassion, the knowledge that after a long day of work I could go home to my own home and my girlfriend would be waiting for me there. I do not miss her specifically, but I found it very difficult to continue talking to her in any capacity, especially after learning that she has found a new, not serious boyfriend. Yeah, you know, it's sometimes impossible to continue a friendship with somebody that you are very intimate with. My ex-wife, after leaving without any opportunity for reconciliation or going to therapy or doing it, I would have done anything to make that not happen, but her leaving was non-negotiable, as she put it. But then later on, you know, a few months later, she still wanted to be friends and couldn't see not being friends with me and knowing me and having me in her life and doing all this. And I just was like, you know what? I just can't do that. I just can't only be your friend. I care about you so much in so many different levels and so many different ways that I couldn't bear to do that. So we weren't. One who, whilst I do not know personally, I have spoken with before and played World of Warcraft as well. I met him on there once or twice. At first, I couldn't figure out why this bothered me so much. I thought that perhaps it was the last remnants, my love of her, making me feel jealousy and anger. But, you know, down the road, all these things can probably be null, you know what I mean? It's gonna decrease with time. Some people might take a long time, might take forever, take your whole lifetime, but it will decrease and decrease these passions, these feelings. They will decrease over time unless acted upon. Then I wondered if it's because I never really had proper closure, or if it's just a heightened need for the love and compassion I no longer had since we broke up. Whatever it is, it tore away at me until I decided that the only way to keep my sanity was to cut contact with my ex entirely. Sometimes that hurt me very, very much, and I know that it caused someone I cared about so much hurt. I just hope she understands. Perhaps time shall heal that divide. Yeah, man, sometimes you got to do it. I certainly hope so, but who can tell? I'm just aware that these emotions, whatever their cause, was beginning to affect not only me personally, but my chances with this new girl. We've been very open about things such as this, and she worries that I am not truly over my ex. You know, sometimes you're in love with an idea as well, and an ideal as well, and that can you can confuse that with the actual person. You know, sometimes you really are in love with the ideal version of your ex. That's someone that your ex really wasn't, but it's someone that you aspired for them to possess more of those traits. and stuff like that. So keep that in mind. She, of course, does not want to be the rebound, and I don't want to do anything to hurt anyone. But at the same time, I do not want to let her go, as she's very special to me. I hope I'm doing the right thing and trying to continue our relationship, albeit slowly. I wonder what your take on this is. Do you think it's a good idea or even possible to continue a friendship ever after a relationship has failed? You know, it depends on... Every situation is different. It really, really depends. It, you know, and my cases, I mean, I have a lot of exes. So, I can talk about this pretty well. I've dated a lot of people. And, you know, I've been on both sides of the breakup. Mostly on the breaking it off side. And some girls you can maintain friendships with. But really, take a look at all your friends. There are some that may still be there for the long run. But most of the time you jump between friends. You jump between cliques, groups of friends. And, you know, sometimes they last a long time. Sometimes they're flash in the pans. But that doesn't diminish the strength of that friendship. And, you know, you don't have to struggle to keep your exes as friends. They can work as friends, and sometimes they can't. So, and, you know, they probably won't be there in your entire life. They'll probably just be like you go from cliques of friends to cliques of friends. Should I give myself more? And if it's and is it wrong to still feel the loss of previous relationships? No, most of your relationships are going to be like that. You know, if you're lucky enough to go from one relationship to another, you're going to not necessarily rebound. That's like a stigma, but it's true. Sometimes you settle to fill that void. But other times, no, man. It depends on, you know, how much you dig this new person. Timing's unfortunate sometimes. My timing, which is, was incredibly unfortunate, but it's a very, very good relationship. One of the best I've ever been in. Well, the best I've ever been in different ways. Should I give myself more time? Yeah, even if this isn't the person you miss and still pursue a new... Is it wrong to still feel loss of a previous relationship, even if it isn't the person you miss, and still pursue a new relationship? No. Should I give my, you know, who knows? Who can tell? Should I give myself more time, or should I remain open and honest while continuing to slowly attempt to build a relationship with this girl? Who knows, man? Do what you feel. I know what I think the answer is. I'm just wondering if you feel the same. And this is so long ago. This is December 24th that you probably... made your decisions a long time ago, and it's probably either over or stronger. Anyway, long email is long. I've not been as active on the forums as I'd like to be, and haven't sent you an email since the... But I see that you're on a new board, so I'm all happy about that. Last one in March, but I've been turning in as often as I can to listen along. So, a biggest congratulations on your marriage, and I wish you and Chizzy, as I would... One Z or two Z's, i.e. at the end, all the happiness in the world. Thanks, man. Marduk. Wait. Yep. Oh my gosh. Honestly, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through all this. Okay, this one's for, this is one from Tim from October that I've been putting off and off. I gotta see when we're gonna eat, and maybe that can even happen. I did want to bring this along from Jaden, a part of our We Talk Games show. He does portable gaming for the most part. Just wanted to mention, I think I briefly brought this up, but especially people in Oklahoma now, I know he's moving out of Oklahoma. But people in Oklahoma want to get the word out about this, what the reform, the tort reform does. The local Republican Party has released their goals for 2010, and guess what? This year's agenda, if you said more tort reform for medical malpractice, you'd be right. So this tort reform is, I don't have the first page of this email. Google tort reform. And it will it will, you will see that it is not necessarily a good thing. He says, I have no family. I have no, I'm receiving funding through vocational rehabilitation to return to school for a good degree. We're going to have Jaden on here. He's going to come on in Wiggly World, actually. Will be 5 to 6 years before I finish, and that can return to the labor force, having outstanding medical debt for 18 months. So what it is, it's the frivolous lawsuit acts of this tort reform that are preventing legitimate claims for if you're injured on the job. The only, like, now people, lawyers will not represent you unless there's like a death involved. If you have any other type of claim for physical injuries, this tort reform is putting a clamp down on frivolous lawsuits, and somehow on-job injuries are being lumped in as frivolous lawsuits. I think that's what it is. I think I remember now. Dear Wiggly and Chiz, long-time fan here from your... Now, this is something I should have gotten in October 10th. Jeez, we're just ready to get married. Long-time fan here from your previous podcast, and I thoroughly enjoyed your current podcast. I really have taken to the new We Talk Games format and think it is light years ahead of what you did the first time. All right, thank you. Congratulations on having your vision of that podcast come to fruition. Yep, yeah, it definitely did. Pardon me with the burps now. Dinner, after dinner burps. I sent this email to you both, as I would like to hear your perspectives on the following question that came up between my wife and I. One morning she asked me if we would start going to church, Catholic and both 100% Italian, Italian Catholic, I guess, once we... Oh, nice. Thanks, Chizzy.
I apologize.
As you know, Chiz is in here, I guess.
Yeah.
One morning she asked me if we would start going to church once we begin raising a family. Neither of us are churchgoers, although we do have our own beliefs in simply doing the right thing in terms of respecting one another and caring for the human race. Of course, we always struggle with turning the other cheek or an eye for an eye, which one, in terms of how we react to how people treat us. But that is another conversation altogether. Back to the original question we both talked about, how it is important for our kids to be aware of religions as a whole in order to expand awareness of others within and outside our immediate society. Other than this, we feel it is not necessary for our children to believe in a particular religion in order for our family to be deemed a good family. I am not sure if children are in your plan, but I was just interested in hearing how the conversation would sound from your perspective. A side story, on our wedding day, our wedding was delayed, but as the priest chased down my father-in-law for a check in order to pay the donation of our service. Yes, it's only a donation, remember, for a wedding service. The service ran long as the priest rambled on about how we would have kids and raise them to be religious. This is nothing new to the church, of course, which I found irritating. And, you know, it's very odd because if you follow early Christianity, much of it was devoid of any type of sexuality or reproductions. In fact, that's why many of the people that posed or may have even been some of the early apostle-like Christian fathers, rather, were probably crucified upside down or tortured or put in jail or whatever. Most of them were probably jailed because they told the wives of the people in power to stop having sex with them. That's not a good idea. It's not a good rule. And most of the early church was about not having children. The majority, I believe. But now that, you know, then the church realized, hey, you know what, if we speak out against abortion and we have more children that can be born into our diocese and more money as a result. What if we already knew, and that's oversimplifying, of course, but that's definitely is part of the plan and surely is written down in some letters to other church members. What if we already knew we were able to have children? What if we already knew we were unable to have children due to physical complication, which is the reality for a few of my friends. This moment would have been devastating. Unfortunately, on that day, we found someone who is supposed to represent selflessness to be incredibly selfish, and we really lost respect for the church. Thanks, Tim. Oh, Chizzy?
Well, I think when it comes to Wiggly and me, we are fortunate in that we are like-minded individuals when it comes to religion, and someday when we do have children, I'm quite sure Wiggly can chime in, but I feel that he and I both want to raise our children in a secular environment. Not that I want to totally shield our children from religion, because I'd like to for them to be exposed or to understand that there are many different religions.
Well, they're going to be exposed to it.
Of course. Many different religions, many different gods that people pray to. And
I think the key is to be educated yourself, number one. And then, you know, your kids just learn, they look at what you do. That's how they mostly learn. I mean, if you try to teach your kids stuff, sometimes they don't. I mean, they might adhere to what you're doing. Like if you say, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this.
Right.
Then they might listen to you. But mostly your kids, and look at you yourself, you picked up on what your parents really did more so than what they said to you. And either you decided, I'm never going to do that, or you ended up doing it later in life, the more trivial things perhaps. You know, like always making sure that the stove's off or something like this. You know, those are trivial type of things. But as far as living your life, you know, anybody's going to raise their kids with their own beliefs.
Right.
There's very few parents that are going to teach your kids something differently than what they believe.
And for me, growing up, I did go to church every Sunday. I went to Catholic catechismal diocese class every Wednesday night because of my mother's doing. However, my father was an atheist. So I was exposed to both sides. I always did have a lot of questions growing up about religion, and I got answers, and I just took them for what they were until I got older and I could look into religion on my own.
I mean, we hear stories about people that say, "Oh, you know, I believe in God, but I'm going to raise my kid to know all the options so that they can make the decision when they're old enough." But that's very, very difficult to do, because usually, if you've already settled on a religion, you probably don't know very much about anything outside of your belief window.
Right.
So I think when you raise a kid, and if you have you know, discussions about it, you're pretty much just locked into whatever your current beliefs are, and your beliefs might change too.
And also with respect to how other parents or people in the neighborhood might view you. I mean, Wiggly and I, someday we might be the, oh, look at, that's the atheist family. But those are just things that we'll have to deal with, and that we will have to share with our children someday, that there are ignorant people in this world, and everybody's entitled to believe what they want to believe, but you should never make fun of somebody else what they believe.
I think you should make fun of them.
Make fun of them.
Yeah, it depends on what it is. If someone, if someone believes that it's a good idea to jump off a roof, I would make fun of them, because that's not a very good lesson to teach. I think the most important thing here is not necessarily how you raise your children, but how you react to your children when they come home with different ideas about religion or about you know, questioning beliefs.
And especially raising a child in a secular home, I can tell you this. When I was growing up, I remember one of my girlfriends had mentioned that she had never been baptized. Whoa! Well, let me tell you, this was such a huge thing for me, because I thought, oh my gosh, she was born into original sin, she's never been cleansed, and here she just happened to have free-spirited and free-thinking parents that they chose not to have their child baptized. But because I was, I'd say, brainwashed as a child here, I thought that this girl was the son of the devil.
Right. And original sin, of course, isn't even part of the Bible. But Chizzy, the only thing, I mean, I think there's a difference between tolerance and ignorance, and, and that's what I mean about laughing at.
Sure.
I mean, you don't want one kid to make fun of another kid for their beliefs. I mean, when they get older, you can question ideas. I try not to make fun of people unless, you know, they're in a public place where they may deserve it for something that they said or whatnot. But I definitely laugh at ideas that to me are funny. Maybe later on I'll embrace them. All right, thanks, Chizzy.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, that was a long time in making it happen. I'm a long-time listener. Dear Wiggly, I'm a long-time listener of your podcast since 2005, but a first-time emailer. I have listened to all of your Wiggly World shows, as well as the Magic Milkshake Machine shows. I also recently bought Inorganic Mumbience off of iTunes, and I am really impressed with it. I'm also planning to purchase the 50 Years of Trapdoor album and or Conscious by Trapdoor. Since you are a musician and a fan of music, I was wondering if you were a fan of Jimi Hendrix. Just curious. Jim Shoe. Of course I am. Of course I am. Yeah, I love Jimi Hendrix. Love him. Love him to death. My favorite album, though, is Axis Bold as Love. That is an album where I remember first sitting down on my granny and grandpap's living room floor in Cult Mount, and I was in my teens. And I had a boombox at the time that had detachable speakers. I always liked to get a boombox with detachable speakers so that I could really get that stereophonics going on. And I remember putting one speaker on each side of my head with plenty of air room in there to move the air around. Just enough so, you know, you could get a better bass and just a better sound quality and everything else. Let that air mingle in there. And I remember just laying down in the middle of that and listening to that whole album, just like, wow, this is amazing. And remember, I've never taken any of the drugs, so it really took me to places. It was great experience, great times. And I'm really looking forward to Jimi Hendrix Rock Hero, whatever's coming out for that. In fact, I was going to end with the King of Trios song that is still unfinished, which I would have had to finish up before I ended it. But I think I might try to find something live that will sound like crap, but give you an idea about my passion for Hendrix there. Hey, Wiggs, long time man. I know I promised you some Stive painting and some things. I'll consider to bring some stuff to King of Trios if he can make it. Speaking of King of Trios, I have to ask you, is Matt Classic Colt Cabana? I told my wife that I have to see Colt in person one day, and it might be nice excuse to get up there. I know you are an insider and all, and you can't give away all the secrets of the trade, so consider it educating a consumer or something. Is Colt Cabana Matt Classic? I don't think so. Matt Classic is like a technical old schooly wrestler. I think Matt Classic began on Wrestling Society X, didn't he? So, as to whether or not Matt Classic is Colt Cabana, I don't think so, because I've seen television, and he never said he was. I thought he was an old-timey wrestler. So I guess I need some wish and sage advice, being that my luck in the education field has come to a bad times, and I'm currently unemployed. I've been fighting some serious depression issues with it. Yeah, go figure. But it's not the joblessness that gets me. It's the feeling of uselessness. Well, first of all, losing your job, that's like losing a thing. Like I, you know, mentioned about before, it's like losing a loved one. It could be like losing a loved one. It depends on if you hate your job or you like your job. And if you have a job teaching, then it's usually pretty satisfying. Usually you can get a lot back from that type of thing. Of course, once again, depending on your situation in class and what year you're teaching and things like this. And what classes. Sorry for my swallows. I feel like I'm a useless, worthless, and so on and so on. I have been putting myself into my art, but all I see is, that's not good enough, or I've seen better, or instead of being happy with the product. Do you have any wise advice to get over any of this? How do you push through with your art and life when you yourself are looking at it with the biggest magnifying glass in the world? I try to say, get over it and buck up, boy, but only works a bit. Should I start selling them more? Does the commercialism matter? And so on. And a lot of nice other things. I wish that I could be doing more of my art, but I know exactly what you feel like. Sometimes you do a whole big thing, and you're really into it. It looks okay as you're going along, and then you take a step back, and you look at it, and you're like, this is poop. It reminds me of the one album cover, one DVD cover I did for Chikara. that had Claudio and Hero against, and on one side the belt in the middle, and the North Star Express on the other side. And as I was going, I thought, yeah, this is looking pretty good. And then, number one, I had to rush it, of course. But when I got finished with it, now, if I look at it now, there's so many things I could pick apart on it. Like, this is complete garbage. And as a matter of fact, I think most of the DVD covers I did for Chikar are kind of crappy. With a few exceptions. The original distorted version of that had Larry Sweeney and the I can't recall who he was going against at the time, guy that left Chikar and never really looked back, and then Bryce Remsburg as a real chibi little referee in the middle with the Texarkana belt. I really enjoyed that cover. I really enjoyed the first one I made for them of the first one after the ones that weren't skewed all types of different ways to craziness that I was so upset about. The one with a Jigsaw kicking Icarus in the face. I really like those. The other ones, not as good as I had hoped. Even the another one I really enjoyed making was the Claudio's name was in it. From Zero to Hero and Castagnoli. I really had a good time making that, and some of the panels I like. Other panels, not so much. But it's a once in a lifetime was the one with that those poser type of figurines on it with Cruz and Corbin and Castagnoli and Hero. There's a lot of things I would change on. The belt came out nice, the rendering on the belt. But I really liked the Anniversario Epsilon. I enjoyed that one. I loved the one with the Jigsaw. What the heck was that? Crushing Weight of Mainstream Ignorance. That's probably one of my favorite covers. And, I also like the Anniversario exclamation point, which was the one I did the renderings of the muscle-type figures, but with the Chikara guys in their stead. And some dudes that only, were at Chikara that one day, which is kind of funny. But, I tried to do the people that were on the card. And unfortunately, that's when Chuck Taylor had his hair cut that day, the first time he had his hair cut, and, it really doesn't look like him. People say, who was that? But the original sketch I had for him had all the long, whatever that's called, emo hair or whatever in his face. It looked great. It looked just like him. And then, he shows up with the new trunks, number one, and a complete haircut, the crew cut, number two. And then number three, it even features some Retail Dragon. I had to put Retail Dragon in there because he gets no love. So I like him. Oh, Milano Collection AT. That's who is on the Larry Sweeney cover of Anniversario Epsilon. That one's funny. And I did another one with that that no one really liked as well. Once again, mostly in part to the fact that it was all skewed. And it was the one that went along with Anniversario Epsilon, which was Anniversario Delta. And that one, I really liked that one as well, but unfortunately when they printed it, it prints my full bleed area, including the bleed area that went outside of the bleed area with, half-finished legs, and Mike Quackenbush looks like he's Stretch Armstrong or something, and it's all goofy, but I liked the faces that I did on Delta, which I don't even know if you can get those anymore. Well, that really sidetracked and really didn't help you at all. But all I can say is that, first of all, the feeling of uselessness is most likely because you were in a very fulfilling job. You were in a job that gave you almost instant feedback. And now you're in a place where you don't know the feedback to what you're creating. But at least you're creating. I mean, that's amazing. I cherished those in-between times where all I had to think about was creating. And I know that, but it is a tug of war. It's a tug of war between I should really be doing something else to support my family. I really need to, I should be digging a ditch. I should be doing something. I need money. And I think it's the, I think, well, at least for me, speaking for me, I know it was the lack of money coming in that, that put the biggest pressure on me. In fact, I mean, that's why even me now with this income tax thing, the fact that I don't have $5,000 and I can't pay this off right away, that is a huge sword of Damocles hanging above my head. I mean, that is more pressure than, you know, most people have to deal with. That is a huge stress. And that can interfere with your creativity because you keep flopping back and forth with, you know, should I be doing this? You have to really get in a mindset that this is what I'm doing. It's not a question of should I do this. It's a question of this is what I'm doing now. I am doing this right now. I don't know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to be doing next week. But right now, I'm doing this, and I want to love this. Because you have a choice. You either love what you're doing or, you know, worry about it. And so just realize that these thoughts, they're just thoughts. You get thoughts constantly, you know. How many thoughts per second do you get? Lots and lots. And they're just thoughts. And give them the weight of what thoughts weigh. They weigh nothing. Okay. So give them the weight. Oh, there's a thought. You know, maybe it's a good thought. Maybe I'll follow that thought. Maybe it's a bad thought. It's just another thought. It really doesn't mean anything until I put a meaning on it. And realize that, you know, this is what you're doing now, and that's good enough. And you can only do what you can do. And a great logo, motto that I printed out as soon as I heard it on the dumbest of places by one of the guys I really don't care for from Home Improvement Show. The Home Improvement, remember, that was a rage. I mean, that thing was a juggernaut. But the one dude on there who isn't even my favorite Home Improvement guy said a phrase that I had to print out and stick on my wall, was relax, go, and let it be. And that is something that I, that was a mantra for mine when I was without any sort of regular income, and that really went a long way. So that's all I can impart to you, and I contacted you offline with that. Hi Wiggly, long time listener, first time to be right. I just wanted to share my thoughts in the hope that some advice. Oh, geez. March 9, 2010. Hey, I'm, that's, you know, it's only, that's the last time I did a show. Wow. I just wanted to share my thoughts in the hope that some advice can be given because of them, or maybe I am writing in the hope that maybe articulating my thoughts will make me feel better. Basically, what I can't seem to get over in that near a year ago, I had a thing with a girl that I can't seem to get over, for it is not just like your normal boy-girl thing, then they overhype it and be all melodramatic about it, is that before this, we were truly good friends, and like she would always have a boyfriend, but yet when we were together, we would act like boyfriend and girl, friend, like holding hands, hugging, and that constant state of closeness and affection brought us closer together. So when she finally decided that we tell each other how we feel, I felt like it was real love, or at least a close approximation to it. So when it ended abruptly, I was left like I don't know how to feel. It was like I had lost a constant almost. Yeah. Yeah, you know, now this is usually in reverse. Usually when you get a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you sometimes, you know, want to spend all your time with them, and normally to the exclusion of many of your other friends that you would normally be spending time with, and then they become your best friend. So this is not unlike that. I mean, it's just in reverse. You were friends with her before this, then you became intimate, and then she left, and now you don't have a friend, and you don't have a girlfriend. And that's the exact same thing people go through when they lose their girlfriend, boyfriend, spouse, whatever, except that they usually, you know, start going out first, and then they become their best friend and their partner. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Really, you're experiencing the same thing, because most people cut off the ties with their other friends when, like I said, when they become involved with a relationship. And it's just a natural, you only have so much time that you can divide up between people, and it's just an unfortunate thing that happens. What made it worse for me is that I wasn't sure why it ended, for before we got together briefly, she was recently just pregnant by another guy, so I don't know if she left me because of the baby she was going to have, or if she just wanted to see as an experiment what would happen between us for the sake of it. And well, number one, if she was pregnant, then there's all types of variables going on there, all types of hormones flying all over the place. While she could, and this not knowing is what makes it worse for me. You know what, though? Sometimes you can't spend all this energy on trying to analyze other people. It might be just as simple as you were ready for a relationship and she wasn't. You know, the more time you waste on trying to analyze this is just time taken away from living a happy life. It's a loss, and it's going to take time to get over, but it will be gotten over. You know, allow yourself that grief period, and just, you know, look at all the opportunities that lie before you now. I mean, yes, that's something that she was your very good friend of yours, one of your best friends. You know, you wanted a relationship, she wanted a relationship, then she didn't. But that's just how things progress. But now you have a lot, there's always been more opportunities there. But you're focused on one, you know, part of all your opportunities before you. Now you can look at the other ones. And sometimes it's hard to see all the other opportunities when you have this giant magnet of something that was, you know, a real physical thing there, and it was a reality, and it's a giant magnet that just keeps you, you know, looking back at it. Well, let's look forward. And because of this, it has had negative connotations on my life, mind, to where I find myself almost daily thinking about her and all the possible ifs that could have been created, despite the fact of me trying not to think of her. And well, see, that you can't try not to think of somebody, because that's thinking about them. It's like the old thing about going on a diet. Well, you don't lose weight because all you're thinking about is your weight. If you want to get off the topic, you do other things. And when these thoughts come into your mind, like I said, you recognize that they are just thoughts. And that's fine, but what are you going to look at? But, you know, this might be different. Thinking daily about her and all the possible ifs, ands, or buts. And none of those. That's what was one of the... We're talking about self-help, motivation, and self and positive thinking later. But one of the things that I think that you can really take from pep talks and things like that is if, ands, or buts. You know, it's a waste of time to try to think of if, ands, or buts, because you can if, and, and but yourself to death. If, and, or but anything, you know? So it's moot. It's irrelevant, if, ands, or buts. Could have been created despite the fact of me trying not to think of her, and isn't helped by the fact that she named her baby after me, but without actually talking to me about it. And due to this, well, you know, she's got things going on in her life, man. You can spend your time wondering why she does everything, but it's really just all made up. And due to this, I haven't been able to connect to people on the same level as I could before. Well, some things take time over. Some things are outside your control, and some things are within your control. And the things that are within your control is what you need to be trying to control, or not even control, concerned with. I could before also, I find myself not being able to I find myself not being able to express myself fully, for I feel that I have to dedicate every other thought of mine to suppressing the memory. That's such a futile waste of energy. Just let the grieving process happen, but you know, concentrate on things that you want in your life, that you like in your life. Suppressing a memory that I wish so dearly could be forgotten. In short, it's certainly dissipated a bit, but it still might be very pronounced there, especially considering the situations. Because, you know, you had been thinking about the future. You had been seeing yourself down the road probably with this girl, especially going to be having a baby and things like this. So you probably have projected yourself in the future, but once again, realizing that many times we are attracted to an ideal about the person that we are, you know, currently involved with. And that's not to take away from happy relationships now, but usually when they end, then in retrospect, you realize that, you know, maybe I really was attracted to my idea of this person or my ideal of this person. In short, it makes my life pretty much quite bad. Well, the good with the bad, the sweet and sour, and it's usually bad after something bad happens, or what we consider to be bad. There is no essay sour. Sorry about the essay sour rant. I feel I need to talk to someone about it, or at least be given a chance to express my feelings. Yours, Max. Well, thank you, Max. I truly appreciate you sharing that with us, and I hope that you know, we talked about it. I hope that something came out of that. Dear Wiggly, I've enjoyed all your podcasts for a long time now. This is from March 7th. I hope I talked enough about the last email. I think I did, because I went along, right? I talked while we went along. I've enjoyed all your podcasts for a long time now. I started listening to them around October of 2005. I listened to Smart Wrestling Fan, then A Wiggly World, Chikara Podcast, Agogo, and Magic Milkshake Machine. My favorite used to be SWF until you left. I was wondering if you could put out some of the old episodes from SWF, like 2005, if you have them. I always thought they were very interesting. I also miss MMM. I listened to all of the episodes about 3 to 4 times each. I wanted to know if you could maybe do something else like that again with Chiz and a musical guest or something. You know, these are all possibilities, but right now it's not in the cards, but later on down the road, you know, you never know. I hope so. Magic Milkshake Machine was an idea I never fully realized, so I'd like to fully realize it. Just curious and appreciate your hard work on the products you give us for free. Mitch, you're welcome, Mitch. Thank you. Thank you for being out there. And like I said, wigglesworld.com/members, and you can get all that. You can request other things to be put up and whatnot. I'm not adverse to that. I just wanted to tell you, I had this printed out for some reason. I'm not sure if you're into board games, where you sort of have dice and cards happen and, you know, little figurines that you move around, but go to playinggods.com. Now, this is a board game that I own. It's just we haven't had a chance to play it yet, but it's called Playing Gods. PlainGods.com, and it's by a company called Balls Out. And take a look at that. It's kind of funny. You know, Buddha with a machine gun and Jesus walking around, all different. You can actually be a god and have fun with that there. Here we go. Louie, found you via SWF and enjoyed you. This is from March 21st, 2010. Found you via SWF and enjoyed you playing straight man to Joe, at least during Jim Henson-inspired tangents. Your departure led me to a Wiggly World, Magic Milkshake Machine, and Chikara Podcast Agogo. Really dig the skeptical viewpoint and well thought out about many subjects. That comes off more like it's from a long thought out process than the kind of bandwagon jumping some voices in the skeptical movement sometimes seem to come across as. About me and skepticism, my personal bubble burst kind of came from a few key moments. First was standing there at a Tool concert, and the lead singer asked the audience to repeat the nonconformist oath. Now, is that Steve Martin's nonconformist oath, I wonder? And as my friends repeated after him, something clicked, and I almost felt like I should yell, "Soylent Green is made of people! People!" Also, I got disgusted seeing $50 t-shirts marketed on being individuals after this. So I don't know what Tool really says. I know the Steve Martin's nonconformist oath is very hilarious.
Usually we say, "Hi, Steve," one more time. Hi, Crime Stoppers!
Hi, Steve.
Let's repeat the Crime Stoppers oath. I promise not to bully my friends.
Oh, this is different.
I promise not to leave my keys in the car.
This is the wrong one. This is a Crime Stoppers oath.
I promise not to depreciate non-taxable items brought forth in the previous tax year.
Good.
Good. And now, let's repeat.
Here it is.
The non-conformist oath. I promise to be different.
I promise to be different.
I promise to be unique.
I promise to be unique.
I promise not to repeat things other people say. Good.
Yes. Wild and crazy guy, that guy. He is wild and crazy with his bunny ears. Yes. So second was, as I worked an overnight IT job on a slow night, had a sleep paralysis episode. Wow, yeah, that can bring on some understandings, no doubt. That kind of exposed the ghost mythos to me. I jumped, I jumped up ready to use my martial arts if it was some sort of intruder in the otherwise empty building, and once I could move. And then Coast to Coast host actually acted like he was the subject of a previous show. His future incarnation, Dexter Monteroy, for an entire show, presumably, probably one of the most kayfabe breaking moments in Woo Entertainment history. Oh, I should look into that Coast to Coast. Now I just try to fight the fight for family and friends to be secure on the internet and try to take jabs at ghost hunters and Woo where applicable. Often it's like butting heads with the sort of complacency for unhealthy foods and many other subjects you've covered. Hopefully this came off at least somewhat intelligent and not complete poop. P-E-W-P. How about that? Pupe. Poop. Poop. An appreciative fan, Louie. Thanks, Louie. That's very, very nice to hear from you. And good stuff. No need for additional comment on that. hey, Wiggly, dropping you another link to a lovely story on high fructose corn syrup. Oh, no, no, no. Why aren't you over at the new We Talk Games site, huh? Playing at Dragon Age by yourself? Get over there and tell everybody about Dragon Age, how you like it. Dropping you another lovely story on high fructose corn syrup. Who would have thunk it that high fructose corn syrup makes us fat? Well, you know, I mean, this is something that you know, I was always against. Now, I know that Skeptoid had a show saying, oh, it's completely safe. And, you know, we had those corn syrup ads on television saying that, you know what they say about corn syrup? No, what? I don't know. It's good for not good. I know that the corn, you know, companies put a lot of money into this. But my problem with high fructose corn syrup wasn't because, you know, it intrinsically is bad for you or anything like this. It's just that it's another form of sugar, and it's another sugar on top of sugar that already may be in there. And some people have, you know, made the analogy of high fructose corn syrup as sort of a, you know, to sugar what MSG, monosodium glutamate, is to salt. It has a very, you know, it's very flavorful and really blows your buds out with the sweetness of this thing and cravings. And I've never hidden from that, but this is my lovely commercial touting and all those lovely commercials touting how high fructose corn syrup is just like every other sweetener on the market was just another media lie ? Well, I mean, this is only one study performed by people from a school called Princeton. Probably some nobody community college anyway. Okay, enough about my sarcasm, as it may makes my tongue want to jump out of my mouth. Looking forward to the next Wiggly World and We Talk Games and Chikara Podcast Go-Go. Keep up the good work and hopefully talk to you again soon. Noel, Where have you been, Noel? I miss you, Noel. Please come back, Noel. Come back to Jamaica, and we talk games of Jamaica. Make it your own. I'm going to attempt to read this Princeton University study because, and I have to say that because it's like in a 2-point font. And although, you know, I'm on Lamictal, it doesn't help with my double vision or my dyslexia or my inability to read. A sweet problem. Princeton researchers find that high fructose corn syrup prompts considerably more weight gain. Of course, a sensationalized tagline, but that, I haven't read this before, but that's pretty, I hope that's real, because considerably more, that would be considerable. A Princeton University research team has demonstrated that all sweeteners are not equal when it comes to, I wish they would have tons of puns in here, working in name, it's saccharine, or something. Rats with access to high fructose corn syrup gained significantly more weight than those with access to table sugar, even when their overall caloric intake was the same. Okay. I think a lot of this, speaking as a complete layman, has to do with processing. And I know that Chiz's big mantra was that high fructose corn syrup, you need to make it in a centrifuge. So, how natural can it be? In addition to causing significant weight gain. So I would have to think that this probably has to do with how our body digests things and the size of the molecules in high fructose corn syrup, I should say, not standard corn syrup. This is high fructose corn syrup, and I believe there's a difference. In addition to causing significant, I think that like corn syrup is just a regular type of sugar, and high fructose is a more a different type of sugar. In addition to causing significant weight gain in lab animals, long-term consumption of high fructose corn syrup also led to abnormal increase in body fat. And, I also mentioned a couple of other diseases that were linked in studies involving high fructose corn syrup in when I previously talked about this. Don't ask me what episode. If it wasn't in the last episode, I don't know where the hell it was. Especially in the abdomen and a rise in circulating blood fats called triglycerides. Ooh. Triglycerides are going to be big news items over the next few months. You watch. As soon as I get it, then, it's a big news story because everyone that listens to this. I think we're going to hear a lot more about triglycerides in the near future. Oh, and speaking of that, so I found out reading more about changes in the vegetarian and vegan lifestyles in a very. I was very grateful to find out that Taco Bell. Now this is like a little bit of this is a story that takes a little bit of prep. So I did go to Connecticut, yeah, with Chikara, and I rode with a couple of guys, but on the way back we stopped and had a meal, and Ultramantis Black and I stopped with the person that was driving us around, and we stopped at one of these pit stops, that has a bunch of fast food restaurants under one roof. And there wasn't really a lot that we could get. And he's pretty much vegan. He really doesn't eat cheese or milk products. But I think on this occasion he may have, because we were there and I just recently been reading about Taco Bell not having gelatin as much stuff as they used to, and not having beef juice in their red sauce anymore. So that sort of opened up some good things for me. But at this rest stop, I noticed that they had a Burger King, and I asked Mantis about Burger King fries, because I know either Burger King or McDonald's uses beef tallow in their french fries, not just to cook it in, but which is, I don't know if they changed their cooking oil or not, but Orida is another company that puts beef in their tater tots and french fries and hash browns and things like this. And I know that McDonald's has beef in their french fries as well. So one of the companies did. So I asked him, he said, yeah, it was McDonald's. So, he was going to get some french fries, and I ordered one of their, they still had a BK veggie there. And they went ahead and they changed their BK veggie recipe. I don't know if it's completely vegan now, but it's more of a vegetable patty than an artificial meat substitute. So I got that, and it was actually quite delicious. Now, hopefully there was no lard in their buns. I can't remember who had that. Wendy's, maybe, or somebody like that. But see, these are things you don't realize all this crap is in your food that you're eating, and maybe things that you don't want. Now, maybe you do want, you know, pigs in your buns, but, you know, I don't. But anyway, it opened me up to this Taco Bell, because now a lot of things are okay. Now, their rice ended up now being bad, because many of the Taco Bells will take their beef fat, like runoff crap, and dump it on their rice and get this beef rice to like flavor it up. So that sort of leaves out the taco salad with meat and things like this. But here's the thing. Their taco salad, like you think, oh, salad's good for you. Their taco salad is, you can go on their website, it's like enough calories for a whole family. And tons of fat calories, not just regular calories, but calories from fat. So their foods, although now maybe safe for the vegetarians, you know, I mean, you can't really just go by there and buy one Santa Fe bean burrito and feel satisfied, feel full. You know, you gotta buy at least two of those, and then some nachos and some this and that. And if you look at their calorie count on TacoBell.com, you would be floored. Most of those meals are like whole family meal caloric intakes. So, even when you try to eat better when it's fast food, you're sort of a loser. So, there's really very few places where you could eat fast food and not get tons of calories that would take you an entire day to burn off. Some people have claimed that high fructose corn syrup is no different than other sweeteners. Back to this web stories from Princeton University. No different from other sweeteners when it comes to weight gain and obesity, but our results make it clear that this just isn't true, at least under the conditions of our tests, says psychology professor Bart Hobel, who specializes in the neuroscience of appetite, weight, and sugar addiction. When rats are drinking high fructose corn syrup at levels well below those in soda pop, they're becoming obese. Every single one across the board, even when rats are fed high-fat diet, you don't see this. They don't all gain extra weight. Every single one across the board, even when rats are fed high fat diet, you don't see this. They don't all gain extra weight. So I think he's saying that, but with high fructose corn syrup, they do. In results published online March 18th by the Journal Pharmacology, Biochemistry, and Behavior, soda is just such, it's so bad. Soda's so bad. I got back on soda again. And, you know, I try to go for the zeros and things like this. But let me tell you, zeros, they pack on a pound. And they not only pack on a pound, they make you bloat it. That's the problem, the whole carbonation. So now I've sort of limited just to, if I go out, I might get a fountain beverage. But that's about it. And, you know, it's diet, but who knows? It's probably still awful. In results published online March 18th by the Journal of Pharmacology, Biochemistry, and of Psychology, and the Princeton Neuroscience Institute, reported on two experiments investigating links between the consumption of high fructose corn syrup and obesity. The first study showed that male rats given water sweetened with high fructose corn syrup, in addition to a standard diet of rat chow, gained more weight than male rats that received water sweetened with table sugar or sucrose in conjunction with the standard diet. The concentration of sugar in the sucrose solution was the same as found in some commercial soft drinks, while the high fructose corn syrup solution was half as concentrated as most sodas. And then the second experiment included long-term study of the effects of high fructose corn syrup consumption on obesity in lab animals. Remember, this is animals. Monitored weight gain, body fat, and triglyceride levels in rats with excess high fructose corn syrup over a period of 6 months compared to animals eating only rat chow. Rats on a diet rich in high fructose corn syrup showed characteristic signs of a dangerous condition known in a human as the metabolic syndrome, including abnormal weight gain, significant increase in circulating triglycerides, and augmented fat deposition, especially visceral fat. These rats aren't just getting fat, they're demonstrating characteristics of obesity, including substantial increases in abdominal fat and circulating triglycerides. Oh, I missed a thing. That was by Princeton graduate student Miriam Bokerlsey. But the continuation is especially visceral fat around the belly. Male rats in particular ballooned in size. Animals with access to high fructose corn syrup gained 48% more weight than those eating a normal diet. That's 50% is significant. Yes, no doubt about it. In humans, these same characteristics are known risk factors for high blood pressure, coronary artery disease, cancer, and diabetes. Her voice changed. In addition to Hobel and I don't know why I can't say that. The research team included Princeton undergraduate Elsie Powell. There's all these hyperlinks that are strewn in here, so it's hard to jump across, especially with the 2-point font. And visiting research associate Nicole Avina, who was affiliated with the Rockefeller University during the study and is now on the faculty at the University of Florida. Princeton researchers note that they do not know yet why high fructose corn syrup fed to rats in their study generated more triglycerides and more body fat that resulted in obesity. And then we can go on and on. If you don't know, high fructose corn syrup is just about everything. It's in, even in more things than you know, animals and high fructose. They're in everything. Jeez, cows and Marissa. I am sure that you hear the phrase "thank you" often. Speaking personally, I cannot state the phrase enough for all the work that you do. I love each and every podcast and appreciate them all, but this message is for a bit of a different thank you. As a young kid, I always kind of questioned what I was being told. I was never a big believer in God, and in high school, right before I started listening to A Wiggly World, it was a topic I tried to stay away from. I never wanted to get into a heated argument with anyone over it. When I started listening to the podcast, you opened up a lot of new doors for me. I did a lot of reading and a lot of research, and even had a sit-down discussion with a friend's father, who was a pastor. My mythology teacher was delighted when I told him that my final research paper was going to be on Gilgamesh. That's great. On top of all of that, in one of the classes, I hope you did a better job of reading Gilgamesh than I did trying to read it to our listeners. On top of all that, in one of the classes I take here at my college, we have read a bunch of Carl Sagan and one or two other writers that you have recommended. That's fantastic. My previous knowledge has come in handy quite a bit. I think I have even quoted the show here and there. Wow. Basically, what I am trying to say is thank you for giving me that little nudge that I needed to start exploring a whole other world of possibilities, writings, and ideas that may have never been looked at before. Wow. That's some powerful stuff. You're welcome. Here we go. Hi, Wiggly. First, I'm getting towards the end here. I just have to talk about this, and I can't forget Stanley's recommendation to me, and we'll wrap up with that. Firstly, congratulations on getting married. This is from October 27, 2009. Mike. First, congratulations on getting married. Best of luck to you guys. Not sure if you remember me. About 2 months back, I launched a podcast and spoke to you a bit about you coming on. Oh, my goodness. Oozer podcast. Mike, I think I even read this before, and the reason it's still in my pile is because I need to get back to Mike. Ay, ay, ay. I stink. This is from the Wiggly World message boards, actually. Dr. Laura needs to bone up on the Bible. In a very Wiggly-esque letter, Dr. Laura gets reminded of a few biblical laws she may have forgotten. And this comes to us by way of What Cantle Own a Canadian? Humanistsofutah.org. Humanistsofutah.org. Now, I have noticed that this letter to Dr. Laura may have been also done on West Wing, or one of them might have inspired the other. West Wing is about, I guess, a president or something. You know, a fake president that is a pretty neat show. And he goes on a tirade to one of the people in the audience that might be like a reference to a Dr. Laura type of person, or more like a Dr. Phil. And with a little bit of the answer thrown in there. Is that what it's called, the answer? Yeah. The answer was going to be one of trapdoor villains that never happened. It was my play on The Question. You know, I love The Question. He was a great character that DC ended up buying, I think. But I remember reading them. I don't know if it was an Atlas Comics or what, Charlton or whatever. But I used to love The Question. I used to pick that up, that and Blue Beetle, and then both of those got purchased by DC Comics and thrown into different supergroups and stuff. But The Question was a really neat dude, and I thought, man, I'm going to have the answer, you know, an answer to it. But then the answer came out, and then that sucked. But I don't know if you know Dr. Laura Schlesinger, but I've heard of her before. She was big. She was on like the council of maybe not of the Council of Secular Humanism, but on the council of one of these skeptic groups, and she dropped out because you know, questioning God was just something that you don't do. So I've known about her for quite a while, but on this is a response to her. On this website, and it says, "Why I Can't Own a Canadian," from October 2002. It was an open letter, I guess, to Dr. Schlesinger, who says that she bases many of her... What she did was she spoke out about gay marriage by saying that, you know, it's in the Bible that it's against God and period. Something of that nature. And like I have mentioned before, she has stated that you just do not question anything to do with religion or God or anything. You do not question, it's over. So Dr. Laura Schlesinger is a radio personality who dispenses advice to people who call into her show or her radio show. Recently, she said that as an observant Orthodox Jew, homosexuality is an abomination, according to Leviticus 18:22, and cannot be condoned under any circumstance. The following is an open letter to Dr. Laura, penned by an East Coast resident, which was posted on the internet. It's funny as well as informative. Dear Dr. Laura, thank you for doing so much to educate people. Oh, and I guess that this reminded Tiger Mask about what I had said on the last show or the two shows before of how I would picket, how I would approach picketers at an abortion clinic or religious zealot picketers. I would be one of them, and as it applies to these clinics that help women in trouble, I would, you know, my first sign would be, you know, women are not intelligent enough to make moral decisions for themselves. I would go as one of the picketers. So this person is writing in that vein of being on Dr. Laura's side. Thank you for doing so much to educate people regarding God's law. I have learned a great deal from your show and try to share the knowledge with as many people as I can. When someone tries to defend the homosexual lifestyle, for example, I simply remind them that Leviticus 18:22 clearly states it is an abomination. End of debate. I do need some advice from you, however, regarding some of the other specific laws and how to follow them. When I burn a bull on the altar as a sacrifice, I know it creates a pleasing odor for the Lord. So says Leviticus 1:19. He loves the smell of burning flesh, you know. The problem is my neighbors. They claim the odor is not pleasing to them. Should I smite them? I would like to sell my daughter into slavery, as sanctioned in Exodus 21:7. In this day and age, what do you think would be a fair price for her? I know that I'm allowed to. I know that I'm allowed no contact with a woman while she is on her inner period of menstrual uncleanliness, according to Leviticus 15:19-24. The problem is, how do I tell? I have tried asking, but most women take offense. Leviticus 25:44 states that I may indeed possess slaves, both male and female, provided they are purchased from neighboring nations. A friend of mine claims that this applies to Mexicans, but not to Canadians. Can you clarify, why can't I own Canadians? I have a neighbor who insists on working on the Sabbath day. Exodus 35:2 clearly states he should be put to death. Am I morally obligated to kill him myself? A friend of mine feels that even though eating shellfish is an abomination, according to Leviticus 11:10, it is a lesser abomination than homosexuality. I don't agree. Can you settle this? These are all very relevant questions I'd love to know the answers to. Leviticus 21:20 states that I may not approach the altar of God if I have a defect in my sight. I have to admit that I wear reading glasses. Does my vision have to be 20/20, or is there some wiggle room here? Most of my male friends get their hair trimmed, including the hair around their temples. Even though this is expressly forbidden in Leviticus 19:27, how should they die? I know from Leviticus 11:6-8 that touching the skin of a dead pig makes me unclean. But may I still play football if I wear gloves? My uncle has a farm. He violates Leviticus 19:19 by planting two different crops in the same field, as does his wife by wearing garments made of two different kinds of thread, cotton, and polyester blend. He also tends to curse and blaspheme a lot. Is it really necessary that we go through all the trouble of getting the whole town together to stone them, as in Leviticus 24:10-16? Couldn't we just burn them to death at a private affair, like we do with the people who sleep with their in-laws? As in Leviticus 20:14. I know you have studied these things extensively, so I am confident that you can help. Thank you again for reminding us that God's word is eternal and unchanging. Your devoted fan, Jim. Yes, it's good stuff. The last bit, it comes in from Stan. He thought that this would make good conversation for a Wiggly World. And I posted it on my Facebook. Let's see here. Fora TV, I've noticed that there's a lot of really neat things at this Fora.tv, the world is thinking. A lot of neat things. I saw some good stuff on there. Let's see. Oops, I turned off the volume here. Hold on.
Fora
Whoa.
TV.
Whoops, sorry about that.
The world is thinking.
We'll just listen in.
I'll take a hard line here.
Barbara.
Delusion is always dangerous.
Enreich.
And the big example I would give of that
delusion is
the,
dangerous.
08 financial meltdown. There are many things that fed into that. I'm not going out, obviously, into a whole analysis of the economics and the different weird, exotic financial instruments and so on. But, you know, many, many people got way over their heads in debt. Ordinary people. And in what frame of mind do you assume large amounts of debt? Well, a positive frame of mind. You think that you're not going to get sick, your car's not going to break down, you're not going to lose your job, and you're going to be able to pay it off. And if your pastor is in addition saying, as Joel Osteen has said many times, God wants you to have a larger house, and you know could never before qualify for a mortgage, and somebody comes along and says, boy, do I have the mortgage for you. It seems like God has reached down to help you with that. Mostly, though, I blame the top levels of a corporate culture.
That's great that she mentions Oldstinger. And this is a guy that took over for Oral Roberts. And he's very, you know, very sappy, but he's very new agey. He definitely preaches the magical voodoo Jesus, much like the object of my passion. Paula White. Paula White also, you know, teaches that magic, tap into that magic voodoo Jesus to success and to his will and, you know, dreams. And that guy that was that saw the United States divided into different colors that were God's nations among them. It's good stuff.
Which by the middle of this decade was completely in a bubble of mandatory optimism and positive thinking. countrywide mortgage, for example, which arguably, you know, set off the whole subprime crisis, has been described by a former vice president as having a cult-like atmosphere, a culture of high fives and woo-woos, or whatever. I can't do that noise right, you know, the woo sound. But the other thing that I found is that people who raised questions were eliminated or told to shut up. There are so many examples of this. You could not voice negativity in the workplace, including in the finance industry. My favorite example, and there are many of them, is the man who ran the real estate division of Lehman Brothers in 2006 went to the CEO of Lehman Brothers and said, "I think this housing thing is a bubble, and we better adapt our business plan accordingly." For that, he was fired, because that was negative thinking. You don't want that around. Nobody could see it coming except for, you know, a half dozen people or so, economists. But mostly corporate America had gone into this bubble of denial where the only bad things could never happen. The other problem I have with the whole ideology...
Ursuline fans know a lot about being in bubbles. And thinking things are a good idea, and you're just in your own bubble. But she's talking about things that really infiltrated just about every big business. We saw, and it's funny that this came from Stan, because Stan worked at T-Mobile, I worked at T-Mobile, and they were trying to embrace this, and I spoke about this when it was happening. They tried to embrace higher concepts like, you know, be here now, and things like this. They really tried to throw this new age thinking on top of that. Being here now, it's a great way to be, but no one really understood, you know, what that really meant to be here now. They put their own, you know, these are like buzzwords. These are like whatever the popular buzzwords is that you throw in a business, and all that business BS that I hate, and I think I have a right to hate. And it's just a lot of crap, and it's a lot of sales pitch, and it's a lot of thing that these are catchphrases that sound nice. But then when you try to really live by them and you try to run a country by them, you get into trouble.
The ideology of positive thinking is, I think it's cruel, just plain cruel. Finally, some people in the cancer care business, for example, oncology nurses, are beginning to speak out against this pressure on patients to be positive.
This is like the secret
stuff. It's just another burden.
Yeah.
It's like saying, in addition to your disease, you've got this thing wrong in your head, which you've got to work on.
And then that all bounces back to things like, you know, trying to fight your bad feelings and replace them with good things. Now you're doing twice the work. I just say, you know, it's all about, you know, thoughts are thoughts. Good thoughts, bad thoughts. They are thoughts. And this is something I scraped off of Richard Carlson, I believe. Recognize your thoughts as thoughts, and that's all they are. They, you know, you have different types of thoughts all the time. You don't have to try and, and this is from many, many different skeptical things, even down to Penn and Teller, I think, and James Randi and people like this. You don't have to try to replace every bad thought with a good thought, because that's a lot of work. You know, that's double and triple and quadruple the work. All you need, what I always say is to just concentrate on what you want in your life, not on what you don't want. So if a thought comes in that you don't want, there it was. It was a thought. You can't stop it. You can't do anything about it. Now on to what I do want.
It's also cruel, totally cruel, to the victims of other misfortunes or awful disasters.
Now she's going to talk about the secret.
When the tsunami of 2006 happened, the author of The Secret was asked to explain it, and her comment was essentially that the people, the victims of the tsunami, must have been sending out tsunami-like vibrations into the universe. Because nothing happens to you unless you have attracted it to your...
Yeah, I knew exactly where she was going here, because that's one of the problems of secrecy. You're blaming the victim. The victim is the cause of a crime committed against them, or in this case, a natural disaster. No, it's tectonic plates. It's weather patterns that cause tsunamis. It's not frickin' thought.
Herself. I don't like, I mean, I'm very upset when it's applied to people who are poor or having economic hard times, and so many people are now. And, you know, I see them quoted, you know, people quoted all the time who've been searching for jobs for months and months in the last year, and will say things like, I'm trying so hard to keep positive. And I want to say, don't bother trying that. You deserve to be angry. You deserve to ask questions about what kind of economy this is that cannot use the talents and the experience and the skills of so many people, that just tosses them away. Now, I have my own very radical alternative to positive thinking. It is not negative thinking, because I think negative thinking can be just as delusional.
Sure.
I mean, you can delude yourself into thinking that everything you do is going to fail and or make you miserable. The alternative is realism, trying to see the world not colored by either our wishes or our fears, and understand what is really happening so we can do something about it.
I like that. I like teaching that, you know, events are neutral, and it's what we breathe into them that either make them negative, positive, or what have you. And it's good stuff. Yikes, I had a throat bubble there. Listen, we're all prone to delusions, and I am not excluded from that. I somehow still think, you know, someone will save me, swoop down and save me from my financial woes, and you know, it's a delusion that definitely gets me into trouble. It's not a positive thought delusion. It's just, you know, a savior myth type of thing. So, you know, even the most skeptical minded, even when you know better, you're still susceptible to it, because we're humans. You know, it's just in our nature to have this type of thing occur to us sometimes, and especially I know there's different you know, things that can be wrong with your brain that make you more susceptible to them. One, of course, being any type of epileptic can really leave you open to supernatural belief systems and things like this. So. Different. I talked about this on other shows before. Hey, you know what? I thought I was going to be out of here. I needed to be done by 3 o'clock. It's already going, pushing 7. I will leave you with something from 08, 07, 1996. What? Well, 1990. Why does it say 8799 and this says 96? Well, I have to put this somewhere between 1999 and 1996. And this is a song called Spanish Castle Magic by Jimi Hendrix, and it's done very poorly by me. And you know what? Hendrix was a phenomenal songwriter, number one. Everybody just thinks of him, really, as a guitarist, but he could craft a song. Very, very good. And I know that he didn't care for his vocals, but he had a very unique voice, and I definitely can't sing in his range or in his style. So we've got to muddle through that, but it's definitely something I crafted as an homage and a tribute to him, and one of my favorite songs by Jimi Hendrix as well. And just don't tell anyone I played it. Hey, that's it. I hope to talk to you soon. I hope to get a new We Talk Games out there, and I really look for. I really hope that I can bring you even just a half of what I have planned for We Talk Games, because it's some super stuff. It really is. It's really some cool stuff, and I hope that y'all dig it. Hey, thanks for joining me. I'm Wiggly at Wiggly World.
Let's do a song for Mystic T. Just call us. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So do go away.
Fantastic Magic by Jimi Hendrix. Thank you. Good night.